I listen to the Cochran Show in my underpants.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Good morning, the Steve Cochran Show for a Tuesday morning, 610, 720, WGN. Dave Ennett here along with Mary Sandberg Boyle. Super Joe's back. He's on the other side of the glass along with Super Mike Heideman. And we have Steve Grzanich in the newsroom, Mary Vandervelde in Traffic Central, and Steve Cochran in his car. He's got a water bottle wrapped in a blanket, and so he said he's on his way in with the results of the test, so we'll find out what actually happened.
Today doesn't look like a day where sun is going to cause any water bottles
well, not
to
yet
cause
anyway.
So we're not going to do it today, are we?
If
you were not with us yesterday, Steve offered his scientific theories on the effect of wrapping a bottle of water in a blanket.
I thought he didn't want to do it in the Tahoe, though.
Well, he didn't want the water bottle to explode.
But there's no sun, and he parks in a garage, so I think
it's not going to work there anyway.
He has to do it at home.
But he didn't believe that wrapping the cold bottle of water in a blanket would keep it cold,
even though it is an insulator.
But then I remembered as a kid, when we were in our sports in the summer, we would have our water bottles with ice, and we would wrap it in a towel and use rubber bands around the towel, I guess, effectively to keep it cold.
Sure.
But I didn't think about that yesterday when Steve was taking us down that path.
Well, I was thinking about it, but I figured based on his broad scientific background, that whatever he was telling us was true. And
he really sounded official.
He sounded official.
Well, you got to sell it. Let's face it. You got to sell it.
Yeah, he did. So, but then the listeners took care of correcting him, so...
Yes, they did. With authority. Coming up this morning, we have the top six at six in just a few minutes. Our kid of the week later on this hour. And another MVPP, most valuable person on the planet for you. Dr. Smith's going to be in this morning, huh?
Yeah, he has a new book, Clean and Lean.
Dr. Ian Smith, always good to visit with him.
It's funny because we got one of those new farmer fridges downstairs. Mm-hmm.
Where is it? I haven't seen it.
It's at the bottom of the escalator where the seating is there by all the mirrors.
The escalator that works or the one that doesn't?
The one that doesn't work.
Okay.
And I was down there this morning staring at the options that were available. And I was at one point, I thought I was going to get the turkey sandwich. Then I was going to get the almond butter oats. Then I was going to get the chia pudding. And then I thought Ian's coming in, Dr. Smith, and I'm like, he's going to give me a hard time for any of these choices. So then I didn't get anything, but I spent a lot of time down there fake shopping.
Like, how are you ever going to get that time back?
I know. I'm not going to get it back, and I'm still hungry. So we've got two problems.
Well, that's what Dunkin' Donuts is for.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think Dr. Ian Smith is going to...
I want to bring in like 50,000 munchkins and put them in front of Dr. Ian.
He always says indulge.
Uh-huh.
Do some indulging. But I've been eating a chocolate bunny at home every night, one that I had a crack open.
The same one?
Yeah, it was a big one.
And that's the one that was sent here, the giant bunny?
It was, and Patrick cracked it open, and it had jelly beans in it.
I really dislike jelly beans.
I've never been a big fan.
Mary's been eating them.
I still have another pack. I've been eating them for 2 weeks straight.
I think it's a religious thing with me.
Oh, the yellow one and the red ones are the best.
Yellow and red, those are good ones.
Those are my favorite.
I've been eating chocolate bunny, and I think I should just throw it away. I got to put an end to this. Chocolate bunny.
Seems like a good call.
And don't throw it away.
No. See, I'll bring it here, maybe.
Yes. What's left?
Bring it here.
The butt?
The feet, the ears, a little bit of the chest, because it's a thicker part, so it's hard for me to eat.
Now, the feet are the best part of the chocolate bunny.
What a cannibal.
What did you eat first if the feet and the ears are still there?
I ate, the butt.
Yeah, okay.
Because it was thinner. No, because you cracked it open.
it was like a white guy's butt. There wasn't much to it.
I'll post on Steve's Instagram, Patrick cracking it open, so people can see if you go to Cochran Show's Instagram.
Kid of the Week coming up. Dr. Ian K. Smith, as we mentioned. Sebastian Maniscalco, what's he promoting?
He's got a new show that he's announcing at the United Center later this year.
All right, I'll be careful.
If you can't say something nice, Steve, don't say something at all.
I salute his success. You know that.
I think he's hilarious.
And
I just laughing, thinking about talking to him later.
Hope you two have a good time.
I know. I'm excited.
And we'll come back with the top six at six in a second, unless there's something else any of you need to share with me at this time.
No. We were just recapping the great scientific explanation yesterday that you offered of the water bottle theory.
Well, just when you guys started the show, I was just back in my laboratory. And I was going over some of the things that I need to accomplish later, like breaking down DNA, genome mapping, things of that nature.
Sure.
Did you tell the story fairly?
Oh, I think so. Don't you, Mayor?
Absolutely. He was very fair, and that...
do you remember how it came up?
We do, and that the listeners... Well, yes, and so today there's no sun, so we don't have to worry about any water bottles catching fire in people's cars. But then...
And do you remember how cocky I was about how I felt I was right?
We did cover that as well, and we also covered how the listeners took care of correcting you, and so we didn't have to.
I don't think taking care of correcting me is quite right as much as it was... Hey, idiot.
Yeah, there was a barrage of messages that came at you.
And by the way, if everyone claims they knew that, you didn't. You're lying. That's it. As a matter of fact, I don't remember anybody on this show correcting me until the text started to come in.
Well, as Dave pointed out, you say it with such confidence that we have a tendency just to agree.
Have you met me? You don't need to believe what I say. Why start now? All right, top six at six in just a second. John DeCosta is here today, and John has, fact and fiction for prizes coming up. But we'll come back with that top six in just a moment. And anything you guys want for me, 312-981-7200, texters, facts, texters, phone calls, or you could just tell me what an idiot I am, 312-981-7200. Super Joe's back. How was the wedding you went to, Super Joe?
Wedding was great. Yep.
Were you in the wedding?
Oh, yeah, I was standing up. I was a groomsman, never a groom. You know what I'm saying?
No, so best man, and then how many deep were you?
I was third from the groom.
So you're position three.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess that'd be position four, technically. And the woman you walked with, was she nice?
Oh, she sure was, yep. Maggie, she's from California. Or Colorado, sorry, Colorado.
Colorado. Well, it started with a C.
Yeah, it was something in the west. Yeah, C something.
Okay, and so everybody had a good time?
Sure did.
Good Italian wedding?
Yep. Italian Irish wedding. Yep.
Yeah. Over Sebastian Maniscalco is going to be on today. Maybe you guys could bond over an Italian wedding.
Yeah. We could talk about the Bridgeport Art Center, which is where the wedding was at.
You know what else you could talk about? Cake. He's very big on cake. They had a cake! Anyway, Joe, I'm glad you're back.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your cakes.
Get your cakes.
With the top six at six, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
5-year-old Andrew AJ, friend of Crystal Lake, still missing. Has it been a week now?
No. Thursday morning is when his parents reported him missing, and the FBI is focusing on the family home now.
Well, the parents aren't cooperating with the police anymore.
Yeah, the mom.
Well, the mom isn't.
Yeah. So
I was told both. That's not true.
The dad went.
Yeah, the dad has had a couple of interviews with the police, and at least our reporting indicates that he has been cooperating.
Why would you stop cooperating with the police if your kid's missing?
I don't know. And she's 7 months pregnant, too, so...
It's just an awful story.
It's awful. And what I don't understand, and I don't know a lot about crime investigation, is I know they had searched the home, I thought. I understood it, that the police had searched the home, but... Now we're focusing on the home, so what kind of search?
The mother, at least, is obviously a suspect, you know, or a person of interest.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't understand. If your kid is missing, why would you ever not cooperate with the police?
Well, I mean, it seems like... But the home isn't that large, so I don't understand if a home has been searched and then the home is still the focus.
The police have been over the place with dogs, and they say that the scent is that the boy was not abducted and did not walk away from the home.
Because there's no scent outside.
So lined up for awful.
Yeah, it's horrible.
Nancy Pelosi tried to convince House Democrats yesterday. They had a conference call with like 180 people on it.
Did you jump on?
Can you imagine what a cluster that was?
You know, we do weekly calls here. You know, our office, we do a call where you can
get everyone's
face. It's
a video call.
On Tuesdays, yeah.
Which I never do video.
Yeah, I do video.
You have to mute.
Yeah.
People well, imagine 180 180 people with a dog in the background and, you know, cars or wherever. We're 100. I don't know. But anyway, this hour and a half phone call showed that the Democrats are pretty split on whether or not they want to move forward in the House with impeachment proceedings for Trump's highly unethical and unscrupulous behavior, in Nancy Pelosi's words. This conversation will continue next. The bombings on Easter Sunday that killed at least 310 people were supposedly now carried out by a radical Islamist group that a lot of people had never heard of, including me. This group was intent on avenging last month's attacks on two mosques in New Zealand. Sri Lanka's defense minister is talking about it more later today, but that's what we know so far.
Islamic State also now claiming responsibility as well this morning.
Really?
Yes.
ISIS trying to get in the game again, huh?
Yeah.
Next. Sears is closing their Oak Brook Center store on Sunday. Liquidation's underway.
Mary bought a last...
This is crazy.
Yeah.
I just bought a washer-dryer there for our new cabin, and we also had to buy a refrigerator. And we got this fantastic deal because...
they're clearing out wall-to-wall?
Well, no, this was before I knew they were closing. This was like a month ago, and it was awesome. I got these great shoes really cheap, and there's not much in there, but it was brand new. I mean, they just redid the whole place, and now it's... going.
The guy that is either accused of killing Sears or trying to save Sears is still in process of either closing every store or keeping some of them open. I don't know what his game is, because it doesn't seem to be a case where he has been completely honest about things.
Yeah, and they just completely remodeled this thing. I mean, they knocked down a whole floor and rebuilt it, and now it doesn't make sense.
Were you a little confused when it said Ken No More?
Oh, Ken No More?
Darn, that's what I bought, too.
Next! Next! Garrett's Popcorn alleges a former employee stole secret recipes. I didn't know Garrett Popcorn had secret recipes.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you think so?
No.
Doesn't taste different to you?
Well, I don't have a lot of Garrett's. I'm not a big
fan. Oh, my God. Chicago's best or whatever?
Well, they can't call it that anymore because of a certain radio station in town, but legally they're not allowed to. But the couple funny things.
Wait, who's
Chicago.
The radio station?
The Chicago Mix. You can't call it that.
That's what they got.
Oh, because Mix complained?
I guess.
The Mix?
There was.
By the way, great billboards.
But their formal name, Garrett Popcorn, is Caramel Crisp. So they filed Caramel Crisp. Filed a lawsuit, which I think just sounds funny.
Caramel Crisp is something? What's Caramel Crisp?
That's their name of their parent company. So they filed a lawsuit. So, like, there's court documents that say Caramel Crisp.
Look, I know the Colonel has a secret recipe of seven herbs and spices. I didn't know Garrett's Popcorn had secret recipes for their stuff.
The only three employees have access.
Yeah.
And then, did you see this, Gersanich? It's protected by thumbprint.
Yeah,
so it's very high tech.
The vice president, and now this person that's being sued.
Yeah, I was going to say, how hard would it be to?
They downloaded the recipes prior to termination, though. So it's out there, Steve. You can't get it back.
Well, when I worked at Arthur Treacher's Fish and Chips for 2 days, I stole their secret recipe, and I'm still holding on to it. But at the right time, I will release it. Are there any more Arthur Treachers?
I think there are a few. We've had this discussion.
No, because I worked there,
thing
too.
Anymore,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. They're around.
One more. Naperville's James Holzhauser, record-breaking win, 13 in a row, approaches $1 million in winnings. I haven't watched a minute of this guy, but we need to get...
I have.
We need to get his... where are we getting his father on? Didn't I ask
his
you guys
brother
like a
was
week
home
ago?
I think his brother was home with John yesterday.
Yeah. Well, let's get somebody on.
Okay.
Yeah, you asked me on Friday, and there are some inroads being made, but apparently a local news outlet talked to some of James's family, and he was kind of upset that they didn't talk to him first. So
James was upset.
To his teacher,
just getting the thumbs up.
What was the local news outlet?
I believe it was ABC.
Okay. Well, thanks for screwing it up for everybody, Channel 7.
Well, they do carry the show, though.
Oh, I didn't think it was that.
Right.
So the strategy, according to everything online, is that he's mean or something, or he's aggressive? I don't get it.
He's a little cocky. I noticed that. That kind of comes across.
He's a little cocky. Where
I don't
is
think
he?
That's. I don't think that's a terrible thing if you're in that seat.
He's won $1 million.
Yeah.
So.
He's got to be around.
They say he's going to wipe out at this rate, now you don't know what's going to happen today, but Ken Jennings, the guy who won $2.5 million, and he's like halfway there in half the time.
I love Dave's like our resident Jeopardy expert.
Well, personal expert.
For sure.
Oh, Lindsay was on the show.
Yeah.
Well, James, we'd like to have you on the show. And all the shows are taped, right? I mean, as far as we know,
he's been done for
weeks.
He's
lost and been off forever.
Yeah.
Do they have anything set in place where they just call it a day for him? Like, you've won too much.
Get off.
Can't lose.
Now, I did see a story. There was an article about that they're not budgeted for this.
Right.
Like, a lot of the game shows have this. They count on the big winnings, and it's not a big deal for them. Apparently, it is for Jeopardy.
These and other things are being talked about on this show, the Steve Cochran Show, at 6:29, where the headlines are next, and 7:20 WGN.
That's it!
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
Now, how old are you?
I am 10 years old.
14.
8. 12.
I'm 18.
I'm 10 years old.
What grade are you in or about to go into?
I'm a senior.
8th grade.
Sophomore year.
Just finished junior year, so yes, I'm a senior.
I'm in 4th.
What do you do for fun?
I love art. Art is my favorite.
I do soccer, basketball, cheerleading, tennis, baseball.
I like to play on a trampoline, and I love to make slime.
I act in plays, and I sing all the time.
I also write stories because I love writing.
I play tennis. I also like to play soccer with my best buddy, but I'm not on a team.
Listen, you're a great kid. What do you want to be when you grow up?
I'm still figuring it out.
Pediatric oncologist.
I really want to be a marine biologist.
I'm not really sure yet, but I'm looking into biomechanical engineering.
I want to be an orthodontist because you can help kids feel better at their smile.
Will you run for president someday?
I want to.
Are you excited to be on the show?
Yeah.
You sound super excited. Have you ever been more excited than this?
Yeah.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Kid of the Week time. By the way, Monday afternoons with Abigail Grace. Here's the funniest thing she said yesterday. I said, Abigail, I'll be right back. I have to use the bathroom. And she said, be careful. It's cold in there. What? You know, she's 3.5. She's temperature sensitive, apparently.
Well, everyone does have one of those cold or warm rooms in the house, you know. So I like that she's aware that the bathroom is the chilly area.
I just think it's funny that a 3.5-year-old brain is going, dude, watch what's going on in there. I don't know if it's a tile. I don't know if a vent's closed, but it's cold in there.
I had a great conversation with her yesterday. She was talking about all her friends she had the Easter egg hunt with.
Oh,
she
yeah.
was going on and on and on with the friends. It was awesome.
She must have recognized you as a part of the grandparent club because she was a little shy around folks. But yeah, she was yakking it up with you.
She was really yakking it up. I love her little tutu.
Yeah. Did you like my matching one?
Oh, the purple?
Yeah.
Nice netting.
It's
yeah.
a good look for me.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get to the kid of the week, Izzy McFadden. Izzy is standing by now. Good morning, Izzy. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
I am fine. Is Izzy the given name or is that a nickname? Oh, Izzy, did I lose you?
I think a little bit.
I said, is
Let
that...
Let me step away in a better connection.
Okay, cool. Well, Izzy does that. My question is Izzy the name you were given, or is that short for something?
It is short for Isabella.
Oh, very pretty.
Mm-hmm.
So who first called you Izzy?
All my friends in preschool.
Yeah, well, it stuck, right?
Yes, it did.
Are you a senior?
I'm a senior at Geneva High School.
What are you going to do next year?
Or this fall, I guess. Going off into pre-med at Texas Christian University.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, wow, TCU.
Me too. TCU, the Flying Horned Frogs. I finally got there.
Yeah, there you are, Steve. You've been waiting for the Horned Frogs to come up.
You don't know how happy that makes me, Izzy.
Hey, Izzy, how many campus visits did you do before you selected TCU?
Luckily, I only did around 6 to 10, I would say.
That's a lot.
No, that's like the number.
It's crazy to me now.
Mm-hmm. And pre-med, what kind of doctor do you want to be?
I'm not sure what direction I necessarily want to go with it yet. I just obviously love helping people and, you know, being involved with individuals and just making them better. So that's kind of where I want to go with it.
She started a website called Humanateen and spelled just like it sounds, HUMANATEEN.org. What's the point of the website?
So I started nonprofit Humanateen actually about 2 years ago with the goal to get teens more involved in the community in fun and interactive ways. a little bit less of a so-called burden on their day off of school or other activities with kids being so busy. But I just wanted it to be something fun and interactive that they could do in order to get more involved in the community.
So this is the thing that we preach about all the time at Kid of the Week. Kids want to help. Adults want to help, but sometimes they don't know what to do. So one of the things I like about what you have set up is you're giving kids direction.
Exactly, yes.
All right, so how do we help you? How do we help and get involved other than promoting the that website and that non-profit is out there? What else can we do?
I would just definitely say the biggest help would definitely be just like advertising and mm-hmm. helping spread the name of the organization just so people are more aware so they can come help. We are pretty local based around the Tri-City area, so people can come to us if they know somebody who's in need or if they would like to donate their services or their help.
Tri-City meaning what?
Geneva, Batavia, St. Charles, Aurora.
Okay.
So I saw Fox River Valley.
Got it.
Izzy, I saw on the website 15 causes, 100 volunteers, 47 children, 2 countries. How did you pick the 15 causes?
Well, we definitely choose causes and individuals that are a lot closer to home so we can see the students and the individuals who are helping can see all of the help and all of the volunteering go from point A to point B,
which
I think is extremely important, so they don't lose track of where their help is going, and they know exactly, you know, this is what giving feels like, and this is what it feels like to give, and it felt this good, so I definitely would like to help again.
You are amazing, Doctor.
Yeah, that is.
Thank you so much.
And I'd heard that you were afraid to speak in public. You sound very cool to me.
Yes, public speaking is my greatest fear.
You know who Jerry Seinfeld is? The comedian?
I know.
Yeah, well, Jerry Seinfeld had a great line, and it's a true story. If you look at insurance actuary tables, and by the way, who doesn't? The number one fear in the world is public speaking. The number two fear,
yes.
The number two fear is dying. So in other words, you'd rather be in the casket than doing the obituary, right? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much. It's like, it's a great fear for a lot of people, but I've definitely learned to, you know, deal with it and cope with it over helping people, which is, you know, more important.
I would say you're doing great.
Yeah, I'd say.
Thank you so much.
What else do you do besides volunteering?
Believe it or not, it does take up a fair share of my time.
What do you do for fun for you? I mean, I know this is fun, but how about fun for you? What do you do?
Oh, it's awesome. My family and I travel quite a bit. I love to hang out with friends, work out, I mean, help people in any way I can, really. Okay. Not really too into the sports field. I did cheerleading throughout my childhood and for, you know, the past 11 years, but I've taken a retirement.
time to put away your pom-poms.
Yeah, hang it up.
Definitely.
Well, it's a pleasure to meet you. And even though you're 18 years old, you're still eligible for Kid of the Week, and we're going to send you all sorts of food you won't be able to get in college, like pizza and stuff like that.
Well, thank you so much.
All right, Izzy, hold on. What a smart idea, and what a cool thing for her to do.
And even to narrow it down to knowing that you want to see where your volunteering is going, you know, it is hard, like when you volunteer for a really large organization like Red Cross, sometimes it feels like it's really far away and you really aren't having an impact. But for her to, you know, hone in on that, kids want to see the results of their volunteering, and that it doesn't have to be time consuming. For her, it's time consuming with the website and how she set this up.
Well, she's the boss.
Some other kids, you know, if they just want to do a little bit, you know, she's made it easy. So,
by the way, this goes to the hula hoop theory, and I've talked about this before. Remember, Ross and I sat down to do a podcast yesterday, and Ross interviewed me. It's posted. It's up where we get podcasts. Where's the best place to go?
WGNradio.com, the WGN Radio app. It's under podcasts. Also, it's on our Facebook page.
And Facebook is Steve Cochran Show. Twitter is at Cochran Show. But we talked about the hula hoop theory. And the hula hoop theory is put a hula hoop down on the ground, stand inside the hula hoop, spin around 360 degrees. Anything you can see, make that part of your world better first. and, you know, it's a symbolic gesture, meaning make sure that your kids are going to a school that's taking care of them. Make sure that the teachers and the school board are on the same page that you are, or that you're on the same page with them, to be fair. Make sure that, you know, you're living in a safe neighborhood. All the things that would be in your area, instead of worrying about everybody else and worrying about everybody that you have no contact with, take care of your area first.
Why do you need the hula hoop? Can't you just turn around?
No, you got to have the hula hoop. Otherwise, you won't get it.
What if you trip over it after you get dizzy?
Well, these are the risks you have to make the world a better place.
I listened to that interview with Ross Cochran and Steve, and Ross said that he was going to ask deeply probing questions that are none of your business, because Steve tends to ask a lot of deeply probing questions that probably aren't any of his business.
Well, it was more personal than I thought it would be.
And then also you tried to take over a couple times.
Right, but did you listen to the whole thing?
Yes, I listened to the whole thing.
Well, it was personal. I mean, that's my point. I mean, there was some stuff on there that I don't normally talk about, which I guess is the point of the podcast.
Right, but you did try to. It's very difficult for you not to be the interviewer, is what I was getting at.
Why do you say that? Is there something in your past that would make you say that?
No, because you keep asking questions. Yeah, that's what you did. And then you even said twice, I believe I counted twice, you said, I know you're interviewing me. Like,
it's not easy for me.
Yeah.
You understand.
My brother loves the horned frogs.
Joe's getting the show on delay.
Yep.
It's 6:49. When we come back, you want to play Fact or Fiction for prizes?
Let's do it.
Let's play Fact or Fiction. 312-981-7200. Line up if you think you could determine whether John is giving you a fact or nonsense. 312-981-7200 is the number. Oh, and I have exciting Chipotle news. Can anyone tell I didn't get a lot of sleep last night?
Hey, I just found out Joe's family likes the horned frogs.
I didn't know that. I wish he'd said something. You know, I might have a secret recipe. It's Chipotle. Chipotle is pretty good, right?
Oh, my God. That chicken is... It's addicting.
Because, you know, it's not just Garrett's popcorn that's got the secret recipes and the KFC situation.
I've never been to Chipotle.
You're missing out, Dave. The guacamoles are awesome.
Whoa. What?
I've never been to Chipotle.
And they have
You've
healthy
never
food.
Been
I have
Chipotle?
Never been to Chipotle.
What's Why? The matter with you?
Nothing's the matter with me, Steve. I've just
the
never
hell
been
is going
to Chipotle.
On with you, Dave?
What kind of a commie are you? Chipotle is going to open up drive-thru lanes.
Oh!
Chipotle lanes.
It's about time.
Yeah.
So you have to order ahead. They're pickup windows, basically. You order ahead, and then you pick up your food, but you don't have to get out of the car. Because, honestly, America isn't fat enough. And we need to make America fatter by limiting the amount of movement you have, combining it with high-calorie food.
It's exhausting walking the 10 feet from the car to the counter.
Plus, they've got the wind-around counter where you can only go to the whole one side. The nice thing about the Chipotle drive-thru, that's my Chipotle is next to my dry cleaner, and you know I already go through the dry cleaner drive-thru.
Which I will not do, ever.
So I can do my dry cleaner drive-thru and then spin around and go through the Chipotle drive-thru.
I have some bad news for you. The Chipotlanes are only going in new Chipotles.
Mm. Oh.
They're not going to retrofit the old ones, at least not yet.
Damn.
I'm going to miss going inside Chipotle and seeing people hang over the counter and hang over the sneeze guard, pointing at what they want. Yeah. That's my favorite thing about Chipotle.
Chipotle, again, is not so different than any other quick service or fast food situation. It's a limited number of items. So the idea that the middle of, say, the dinner rush hour, you could be standing there going, what do I want? What do I want? Go to a regular restaurant. Yeah. Sit down at a regular restaurant. Take all the time you need to order. But if you're standing there going, burrito, bowl, burrito, bowl, bowl, burrito. I mean, there's four items.
So you got to decide what you want in it.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so complicated.
It's well, how long is this order going to take now when you can't even see the food? If you're calling it in, good luck.
Is your first time visit at Chipotle free?
That's what
somebody
text
just texted. Is that true? Wow. Dave, you could go there for free today.
So after berating me for never having gone and calling me a commie,
you're a huge disappointment.
You guys are making this sound so enticing. There's a sneeze guard, and people are leaning over it, and it's high-calorie food.
Which part of this is not exciting for you?
Yeah.
But if you're a communist, you probably wouldn't go.
Nah, because you're used to standing in line for bread.
That's the only thing.
Fact
or fiction, fact or fiction. The simple game show causing mass addiction. DeCause will write the fake one. Make your choice and then the game's done.
All right, what are we playing for?
I have a pair of tickets to see the annual Wright Plus House Walk. Open to the public, one day only, Saturday, May 18th. Step inside spectacular private homes designed by Frank Lloyd Wright.
I've always wanted to do this.
And his contemporaries in Oak Park, organized by the Frank Lloyd Wright Trust.
I love Frank Lloyd Wright. This is great.
FLWright.org.
If you don't win, you can you can get a MyPillow.
You can get a MyPillow.
Let's go to Janet in Huntley. Good morning, Janet. How are you?
Good morning. Great today. Good day today.
Thank you for listening to the show. We appreciate it. Are you headed for work? Where are you going this morning?
Yeah, I'm almost at work right now.
What do you do for work?
I work as a nurse in a doctor's office.
Oh, good for you. You want to plug the doctor or you don't like him so much?
Oh, I don't know if he'd appreciate it.
Okay, I would think anybody would like a free plug, but that's fine. All right, so stand
by
here.
Does he have a degree? Is that why he doesn't want anybody to know?
He's working on his degree.
No. I've been there almost 19 years, so no.
You're the boss. Who are you kidding? You're the boss.
Oh, gosh, you know me so well already.
Right? Come on. All right, Janet, fact or fiction. John?
Here you go, Janet. Over 200 people were wounded or killed in the Great Boston Molasses Flood of 1919. Fact or fiction?
Ooh. I would think that would be fiction.
No, before you answer,
uh-huh.
I'm pretty sure this happened. I'm pretty sure this happened. Now, keep in mind, I'm the water bottle guy from yesterday, but I'm pretty sure this happened.
Oh, no, because I love Boston, and I've been there, but I saw no trace of
molasses
syrup anywhere.
Anybody want to go in another direction or break the tie here?
I don't know.
You sound convincing.
It's, yeah, it seems improbable.
We're not going to fight you.
You know, people getting swept out to sea.
So right yesterday. All right, Danny, your call. Whatever you want to do.
I'm going to stick with my fiction.
No, it is a fact. It is a fact. 2.3 thousand gallons travel at 35 miles per hour.
Yeah.
Down the street.
2.3 thousand.
Where did it come from?
What?
2.3 million gallons. Yeah. Janet, see, there's stupid things I remember all the time, and sometimes they pop out. But yeah, you get a MyPillow for playing.
I really wanted to win that. My daughter-in-law and I were just talking about it, and I live in a very old house in Huntley. Very old. I would love to go on that.
Hold on. We might be able to make a deal. Hold on. God, I'm a soft touch. Yeah. Jeff's in Sandwich. All right, quickly, fact or fiction.
Here you go, Jeff. Producers of the movie Air Bud are suing Apple for copyright infringement.
Oh, for Air Buds?
Yes.
Oh, that sounds like a fact.
Fact or fiction.
I could see that happening.
I could see that, too. That sounds like a fact.
No, that is a fiction. I made that up. Thank you.
It's a pretty good fiction.
Yeah.
Keep
yeah,
it is.
Yeah. All right, Jeff.
I'm going to give him an apt gift card since we're talking Air Buds.
Okay, give him an apt gift card. That's fine. Hold the line, Jeff.
Perfect, that's great. Thank you.
And thanks for listening. And since Janet wanted
Janet is getting the tickets.
All right, pair of tickets.
Tickets to the Wright Plus House Walk open to the public because she lives in an old house.
There you go.
Good call.
Even if you lose, you're a big winner here. And next time, Janet, let's pay attention to the molasses. What? It's 6:59. The Northwestern Medicine Newsroom is where we're going next on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
The most dangerous thing in your car. Any idea?
Cheeseburger.
I'd gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today.
Bottle of water. You leave a bottle of water in the car.
I've heard that.
It involves refracted light setting your car on fire.
I hadn't heard that. I've just heard that it's not healthy.
Yeah. No, this will blow your car up.
And boom goes the dynamite.
Getting out of your car right now, you leave a bottle of water. There, sunlight comes through the windshield, refracts from the water that's left in the bottle, and then it's magnified like a magnifying glass onto your seat. Your seat catches fire, your car burns up.
Fire! Fire! Fire!
Sammy can work on this project now. You can go down and put a bottle of water in your car.
We're not blowing up the Tahoe. How dare you?
You shut your mouth when you're talking to me.
Super show getting it done as usual. So yesterday on this show, after I told that horribly frightening story of refracted light setting your car on fire if you leave a bottle of water in your car. Michael, sit by the microphone. I can't hear you from there. You say I'm beating people to stay. Get away from the mic. Get off the show. I can't get Michael to get on the show. All right. So as I was cockily said, that's a word. As I cockily said yesterday.
It's extra funny because your name is Steve Cochran.
Yeah, Steve Cochran. Cockily. And now I'm going to cockily say something. Yesterday I said, listen, some guy just texted that if you leave a cold bottle of water under a blanket in your car, it'll stay cold. That's crazy. And it turns out I am completely wrong. I can't tell you the last time I got crushed the way I got crushed by texters yesterday. One after another, you're an idiot. Did you go to science class once? What's the matter with you? Over and over again. Because the idea is, much like a koozie, a thermos, I suppose, it keeps the cold in when the blanket does that, insulates it. And it's not like... It's not like the comparison I used where I put a blanket on my if I have cold feet, I put a blanket on my feet, get warmer. As somebody pointed out, you have blood in your body warms, the water bottle's not human, you idiot.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So anyway, just to prove the point here, Michael,
mm-hmm.
You have a blanket?
Yes, I do. It's a full, nice, cushy, I guess.
Is that wool, Sandberg?
Yeah, this is definitely a wool.
Okay, it's a big, heavy wool blanket.
Yeah.
Do you have a cold bottle of water?
For those listening, it's gray.
Looks like a throw more than a blanket.
Not the important part of the story.
Okay.
From Target or IKEA, too.
Also not important. Oh. Do you have a cold bottle of water?
Ice cold, straight from the fridge.
All right, so here's what we're going to do.
It's not an electric blanket, is it?
We're going to wrap this bottle of water.
It's not an electric blanket. Mm-mm. It's not electric. Mm-mm.
We're going to wrap this bottle of water in the blanket.
Let's swaddle it here.
And we're going to check this bottle of water in, what would we say, 30 minutes?
Okay, so can I just stop you guys right here?
Yeah.
We need another bottle of water.
A control bottle?
Yeah, control bottle.
Otherwise, yeah, that's not in the blanket.
Work. Okay, this current bottle is swaddled.
All right, so can you get another cold bottle of water out of the refrigerator?
Mm-hmm.
And whose water are you stealing, by the way?
I think it's from sales.
Ah, perfect. Yeah,
yeah, that's good.
Get another cold bottle of water, set it next to the blanket, and then we'll check it in 30 minutes.
Okay.
Do you have a thermometer that you've checked this with?
I'm going to use I'm a stepmom, Grzanich, so I'm going to use my hand.
Mm-hmm.
When you get into the mom world, back of your hand.
So
is
the scientific way, though.
Yes.
Well, it's better than a thermometer, actually.
It is.
What's the hypothesis, Steve?
The hypothesis is I'm an idiot. We're testing to see if I'm an idiot.
No, an educated guess. That's a hypothesis. What is your educated guess?
My educated guess is I'm an idiot. By the way, I like the way she talked down to me.
Wow.
A hypothesis is an educated guess,
I
you
help
jackass.
My kids with their science experiments.
No,
you know?
We're just proving.
So Steve's project. Educated guess is that the water
is it
will
be
cold
yeah.
or warm.
The water will be cold because I'm an idiot.
Okay, your hypothesis.
That's your hypothesis.
Okay, teacher.
Right.
I just want to go on record that I also agree with Dave. It looks like a throw.
All right,
go get the other bottle of water.
You got it.
Should we use different forms of blankets?
Sure. And then
should do is shut your mic off.
What about the temperature in the room? Are we putting these in basically the same area of the room where
honestly,
not?
Is the newsroom getting enough oxygen? I'm worried about both of you all of a sudden.
The bottles will be, the other bottle of water will be next to the swaddled bottle of water. So
right.
they'll be right by each other, all in the same room.
And now we'll check it in 12 minutes because we've been talking about this for 18.
Yes.
No, it's 7:15. We'll check it at 7:45.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
All right.
Not alert!
What?
Steve, what's coming up at 7:30?
The Steve Cochran Show presents the most valuable person on the planet. The MVPP is sponsored by Mega Pros. They make it fun to get stuff done.
And now it's time to move on to a little something we call
the most valuable person on the planet.
We get solicitations for the MVPP from a lot of different sources, but this is the first time that one of our solicitations came from Bennett Wake Knight. So how did Bennett come up with this?
Bennett is the morning show executive, the morning business show executive producer with Steve Grzanich.
And a swell guy.
Steve Bertrand, yeah. So he said, he knew a good guy. And I said, we need a good guy. And so then here we are.
This led us to Jim Davis?
Yes, and he's an MVPP.
Jim Davis is here, and Jim is a very interesting Renaissance kind of guy. but you have a nonprofit called Good Athlete Project. What is that?
Yes, sir. The Good Athlete Project is an education consulting foundation that has recognized sports as the most powerful learning platform that exists.
So how do you use that?
That's a great question. That's not my first day. That's right. Our core model is what we call a character by design workshop. So we enter into a space recognizing that there is no cure-all. So we enter into a space, identify what the needs of that specific space are, identify what the opportunities within athletics might be, and then we essentially craft a plan that's specific to that space.
What space? Give me an example.
That's a great question. So the South Side of Chicago, we're with a baseball organization. Okay. Down in Haiti, we're using basketball. We got powerlifting all over the U.S. Football, believe it or not, American football over in Europe, and it kind of changes spot by spot. So wherever the motivation is, wherever the kids are and the leaders are and the coaches, that's where we want to be.
Create sense of community?
Without question. And alignment to an actual real-world community. I'm pointing on to the desk, but just a moment from my phone.
It's okay. It's
an actual real-world community, so off the phones, into the world. I mean, the ramifications or the ripple effect of that, the positive ripple effect are...
Well, I mean, for people listening now, you know, if you were involved in sports in school, you know that these are some of the people you've probably stayed in touch with your whole life, right? Teammates and things like that. So.
Yeah, no doubt.
So you can break down a lot of walls.
You absolutely can. And what we recognize, I think, the project started out at Harvard University. We were sitting in an educational neuroscience classroom.
I'm surprised I didn't see you there.
You're not there? Yeah.
At the neuroscience class at Harvard.
We may have missed each other, but only briefly. So we're sitting in this classroom and going over the attention and retention networks of the brain, identified that maybe the perfect learning environment already exists. So that's light bulb one, and probably so many people recognize immediately. Light bulb two was that it's not always being used to its highest potential. Sports gone wrong is a daily headline.
So you're a very smart guy. And you're involved in sports. That doesn't happen all the time. Those two don't generally get together because somebody is either gifted with great physicality. Because I have this theory, and you know, I'm rarely wrong about things, just ask me. I have this theory that God gives you a lot of something.
Sure.
But maybe take something a little bit away on the other side. And I think that's true in athletics sometimes. Now, we know, certainly, Dave, we know super smart athletes. But it's not the general thing. Because you spend so much time on your athletic skill and your body or your physicality that you don't spend time on academics. So are you gifted in a way that most athletes aren't?
That's a really interesting question. I won't comment on myself, but I know a lot of people that would prove that stereotype wrong. I think if we're doing it right, the things that would make you an elite athlete could be transferred and should be transferred to the other areas of
life. Well, the reason I bring it up is, are we spending too much time focusing on the physical of athletes to the expense of academics?
Okay, so that's a really good question. That might go. There's so much specialization in the world. So if I'm a baseball player, I might not just be playing baseball. These days, 2019, I might be with a hitting coach or a pitching coach and working out in the weight room and all that kind of stuff. So I think we could in that kind of Malcolm Gladwell 10,000 hour line be leaning too much in that direction. It's funny that you bring it up, because this evening I'm actually going to a poetry reading with a famous local guy, Reg Gibbons. He's a professor at Northwestern. Wonderful.
You're also a poet.
He casually dabbles in poetry.
My degree before this last one was at Northwestern in poetry. I got my first master's degree in poetry.
And by the way, Northwestern proves that it's completely possible to have really smart folks involved in sports. Look at the football, the basketball program, the women's field hockey, and lacrosse.
Their lacrosse program is elite in the nation. Yeah. Their tennis programs are unbelievable. Yeah, that's totally
right.
So you
can be smart and be an athlete as well.
I think so,
too. By the way, I believe you're ruining the rest of men with your basic story this morning, because you're smart, you're personable, you're funny, and you write poetry. There are women right now lining up to go. There is one. There's one out there.
I appreciate you saying that. I hope my girlfriend is awake and listening to this show.
Because she knows the truth about you.
Right, because there are maybe some other concerns. Maybe workaholic is a term that's been thrown out. But that's not, I shouldn't say that.
But you're passionate about work.
I'm incredibly passionate about the things I do, and I'm very lucky to feel that.
Dave?
What reaction do you get from coaches? I mean, when you present them with this opportunity?
Okay, so there is my degree at Harvard was human development and psychology, and
One thing
one thing that we have recognized is that it's not just, we cannot be broad scale sports do this, that, or the other. We have to meet students where they are, coaches where they are, administrators where they are, and the independent psychology of each of those groups is unique. So if it's a coach who has sought us out, they might be very thirsty and receptive for these ideas, and that's probably best case scenario. We want to do it in this way, use the platform to its best possible end. That's pretty fun and relatively easy. That's more of a mechanics thing, like any sort of consulting business. When we are called in to do the work, it takes a little more tact, because to tell someone that they're maybe they're not, no, an expert in the field, that they're not maybe doing it exactly correct, we do see a little bit of resistance. But then you just got to find what works for that person. What are you up to, coach? Do you want to win a championship? Okay, well, enhancing community might lead you to actual wins, right? We know that it's doing these other things at the same time, right? But for you, Coach X, it's also getting you wins.
Well, sports also has the ability to save lives. We know that on the west side of this city, and the south side, and various difficult neighborhoods. And the interesting thing is, you could be written off as, oh, the white guy from Harvard's here. Yeah. What is he going to know about my neighborhood and my life? But sports breaks those walls down. It's a language.
It's the universal language. I'm getting the chills when you said that. So we have a tutoring opportunity. Actually, I'm going down tomorrow, Wednesday, on the south side of Chicago. And I will tell you that that narrative is alive and well, and we were worried about it. About 6 months in, we recognize that that's as artificial as anything else you'd want to put into it. If you keep showing up and keep showing that you actually care about the students and what's going on, I think that starts to.
Yeah, you can't be
away.
The white guy that brings the basketballs and say, "Have a good time."
Yeah, good luck, everybody.
Right, you got to be
Here's
a part
how it
of
worked
it
for me.
Yeah, exactly, right. Exactly.
And another thing I read that you guys have done, talking about meeting the athlete where they're at, It's not always just underserved areas that need sports brought to them. A girl with an eating disorder that was a part of a team, you know, you guys helped her reframe her relationship with food by talking about nutrition and needing it for strength and energy to be part of that team. And so that's not that you're a psychologist and solving all problems, but it's effective in all socio and economic areas, not just underserved.
There's no doubt. There's no doubt. And a student is a student. And like I said, my background is in part cognitive neuroscience. And once you go under the skull, stress is stress. To a point, and all kids are deserving of this sort of opportunity, and that's why we wanted to do it in a more site-specific way.
Are you getting impact with people who could spread this and help you spread it even faster?
Like people like yourself?
Well, yeah, but I'm talking about politically as well.
That's a
funding,
great question.
Things of those nature.
So we are actually in the process of applying for a grant with a really brilliant researcher named Lisa Feldman Barrett. She's out at Northeastern, actually, in Boston.
Okay.
That is probably step one to the next step. So concrete legitimacy, then move on to policy.
How do we lose this, by the way? How do we lose this from, is it just the organization of it? We have organized sports in school.
Mm-hmm.
The specialization thing drives me nuts because I was able to play multiple sports, you know, and get the benefit of all of that.
Mm-hmm.
But when you are specializing with kids at 10, 11, and 12 years old, they're missing out.
I think it's just, it's behaviorism. It's like, all it took was one all-star team to, you know, these guys got X amount more hours than their peers and they rose a little bit. So you just try to copy that model. You go up and up and up. And now instead of, like you said, being in front of the football staff and the basketball staff and then the baseball staff over the course of a year, all of these educators dedicated to the space, you are in front of your one coach and then you're in front of a personal trainer and then from a pitching specialist who says, don't listen to those guys, only listen to me.
Yeah.
It's in a silo now rather than being an expansive learning platform. So I don't know where we lost the way, but I think it's understandable.
And Dave, correct me if I'm wrong. If you did a quick survey of guys in the big leagues, for instance, in baseball, those guys are probably multi-sport athletes more so than they are guys who specialize. Now, obviously, in pitching, you got guys who early on had to become pitching specialists. But great athletes are great athletes. And if they end up making a show, whatever it is, hockey, football, baseball, basketball, it's because they got experience in life.
I think you find very few professional athletes who weren't multi-sport athletes coming up. Yeah,
I believe that. Our guy, named Charlie Tilson, he's an outfielder for the White Sox.
Yeah.
Wonderful guy. Good friend of ours. I actually met him just like I met Bennett. He was playing football. We were training for football. He was like the best football player on the field. I mean, the cream will rise. You're either that caliber of athlete or not. And there's actually, it's a shame when someone sees the last on the bench on the JV baseball team and says, all you got to do is come with us and we will make you into whatever, the next Charlie Tilson. Unlikely, unfortunately.
It's a fraction of a fraction of a percent that are ever going to play professional sports. Mm-hmm. It's not to say if that's your dream, you shouldn't chase it.
Totally.
But not at the expense of everything else in life, which brings me to my last question, which is, we're getting into summer soon, mm-hmm. and there's going to be families that are traveling all over the Midwest, if not the country, because their kid's on a travel team.
Right.
And maybe there's 70 games they're going to play in this summer.
Yeah.
At some point, you're damaging the core family values because you're spending so much time on the sport with your kid. All you're doing is going motel to motel to hotel to hotel. Right. You see that or not?
Absolutely. So my advice would be you should be a family member, son, daughter, husband, whatever it might be. Then you should be a kid and have fun and play. And if that includes baseball or whatever it might be, fantastic. I think you should uphold your obligation to your teammates, certainly.
Uh-huh.
But to what extent? And I'll leave it with an anecdote, I think. We had a absolutely top-tier football player who was just dead set on making the Big Ten and playing early.
Okay.
Went into baseball season, got a little bit worn out, and then guess what? Summer baseball season started.
Sure.
So nonstop. And you can't lift like a Big Ten athlete while you're playing baseball in the morning. And then by the time you get to football season, I mean, you're running on fumes.
Yeah.
So it's well intended, but probably slightly off the actual path to success.
Well, listen, I believe the sermon, because I think sports can help on all levels. It's not an economic thing. It's not a social thing. It's an everything thing.
That's right.
And I salute what you're doing. So goodathleteproject.com.
Goodathleteproject.com. Instagram, @coach4kindness. So coach for kindness.
And what kind of poetry do you like?
I like all sorts. I like to read. I like to look.
Yeah. This is one I just wrote, John.
Go ahead.
It's easy to smile when life's worthwhile. When life's worthwhile and all's bright and chipper. But the man truly worthwhile is a man who can smile when he catches himself in his zipper. Have you heard that one?
We got it on film, so
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Is that Keats?
I'll write it down.
Is that Keats?
It is Keats.
It's Keats.
Yeah, it's Keats. It was all part of a larger volume. There's Leaves of Grass in that one.
Where's your event tonight?
I'm gonna take that. Well, I appreciate you.
Where's your event tonight?
Oh, where is it tonight? It is on North Avenue in Wicker Park, a place called Gallery Cafe. Again, it's with Reg Gibbons, who's an absolute all-star. I feel very lucky to be there.
We need to talk to you more, so let's stay in touch.
Happy to. Appreciate it.
Thanks for being our most valuable person on the planet.
And that's quite an honor. Thank you.
And for bringing in your roadies as well.
That's right.
Thank you, Alex.
Well, thank you all. Appreciate it.
So, all right, we'll come back, and we continue to try to make you healthy, whether you like it or not, with Dr. Ian K. Smith coming up as well. Your headlines are next on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Doctor, Mr. MD, now can you tell me? 7:44, we're just back at Harvard graduates in here. I mean, it's just that, you know, Harvard, Harvard, Harvard. I get so tired of seeing my classmates. You know what I mean? The great Dr. Ian K. Smith is here. We love Dr. Ian K. Smith. We insist on calling him Ian because we feel better about ourselves.
I like that.
And the book is Clean and Lean. How many books for you now?
This is 17.
You got to stop. It's too many. Can't have any more. Can't write any more.
How many shows is this for you?
Let me go to the tape here.
1,359.
Just on this run, 1,359.
Okay.
You want me to stop?
I'm just saying. I'm far behind you.
Listen.
I got a long way to go.
I'm very impressed because you continue to pump out really important information. And, you know, the weight that I've lost is in no small part due to the last time you were in and the book that I took a look at and picked some of the things out of it. Because what I like about what you do is you write it clean and lean. I'm not just taking the book title,
right.
But it's understandable by anybody.
Yeah.
And it's something you can put into practice immediately.
You know where I learned that from? I was doing Celebrity Fit Club many, many years ago, and I had written this wonderful book that I thought was just the cat's meow. I just thought it was all this great nutritional information, and I gave it to the celebrities because I was in charge of their weight loss. And the week later, they said, Dr. Ian, we love you, but this book is too much. Just tell us what to do.
Yeah.
And I sat there.
Because people want it simple.
Right. And I sat there and said, geez, I spent all this research and all this time. And so I wrote, the next book I wrote was called The Fat Smash Diet, which was maybe 60 pages.
Right.
And they loved it. And they did so well on it. And so since that day, since that time, all my books, I write it. I don't dumb it down ever, but I write it in a way that's accessible to everybody. And you don't have to read a lot. I don't want you reading, you know, read my novels, that's reading. But for a weight loss book, I don't want you to feel like you're reading a novel. You're just, you need to know the plan.
Yep. And the food lists are also accessible, too. It's not a lot of stuff that you have to go to four different markets to try to search for.
You don't have to forage.
So people say, who do I write these books for? I write these books for, everyone can use them, of course. I write these books for people who have limited income,
mm-hmm.
who don't have, you know, personal chefs, who are busy.
In other words, real people.
Real people, and they want tasty food. So on page 21, these are all the clean and lean foods that you can have for 30 days, and you can swap things in and out. But they're things that people like to eat anyway. There's eggs, there's sushi, there's turkey, there's tortillas, there's pizza with whole grain or whole wheat dough. There's beef, as long as it's with no hormones, turkey bacon, avocados, chicken, chickpeas. So you have plenty of food, and people say, well, it's just regular food. Yes, but we're just eating it cleaner. By the way, clean and lean is the combination of clean eating with intermittent fasting.
All right, let me back you up for a second. The Clean 20 was a very successful book.
Very successful.
You were in here talking about that. What did you do to evolve to this? What's different about those two?
Okay, so this is what happened. Someone in my group on Facebook, and people listening, join our group. It's called Cleaner, Get Leaner. Someone in the group was doing Clean 20. She said, her name is Bev Simon from Maryland. She said, could I do intermittent fasting with Clean 20? I said, try it. I don't know. Try it. So she was doing it. Then my good friend Nazi Muhammad, who I gave in the acknowledgement, I say Nazi Muhammad, who played for the Bulls at one point,
yep.
He and I were playing golf, and he kept drinking like a gallon of water. I was like, dude, we're at the halfway house, he wouldn't eat. I'm like, why aren't you eating? He's like, I'm doing intermittent fasting. So I was like, oh, geez, you know, because that's the one place at the halfway house at the turn I get a hot dog. I get all beef hot dog, the only place I eat a hot dog, right? So I'm like, dude, I'm eating hot dogs by myself and blah, blah, blah. So anyway, he says, no, this thing is working. Like, I eat from a certain time, I fast from a certain time. The combination of Nazi doing it and then Beverly Simon, who did the Clean 20 plus intermittent fasting, and her results were through the roof. I said, oh my goodness, let's do clean eating, intermittent fasting.
Clean and lean.
Up to 15 pounds in 30 days.
And a healthily dropping.
Healthy.
15.
Oh yeah. It's people say, was it too fast? Well, you're doing something healthy. Let's break down what intermittent fasting is, because people think it's starvation, and it's not. Intermittent fasting says you have a feeding window followed by a fasting window followed by a feeding window, and you keep rotating.
And it's not necessarily full days, right?
No.
It could be chunks of hours.
Yes. Well, Jimmy Kimmel does the 5-2.
Yeah, I know. He's out of his mind. He looks great, though. He really does.
He does 5 days of normal eating, 2 days of 800 calories or less. For my money, my way is more, not my way, but this other way is more effective. This is, which is called time-restricted feeding, TRF.
Well, I think your way is obviously, doctor, healthier. The thing I worry about with Jimmy Kimmel, who's a friend, is there's an energy depletion that goes with 5 days eating anything you want and then dropping suddenly to 800 calories.
Right, out of nowhere.
Along with being angry, I would think, for most of those 2 days.
Yeah.
Dave, does all this make sense to you?
Well, it does, but how long is the window for the fasting?
Great question. Yeah. Okay, so it depends on what you want. So the book gives you three different tracks. So basically it works like this. Let's say, for example, I want to start my feeding window at 10 a.m. in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
So my first meal starts at 10, or I'm allowed to start eating at 10. Then I go all the way to 8 p.m. So I'm allowed to have three meals and three snacks from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. At 8 p.m., I stop. I
shut it down.
My fast. Shut it down into my fast, right? So I fast from 8 p.m. to 10 a.m. I'm allowed to have water. I'm allowed to have coffee with a little splash of organic milk. I'm allowed to have herbal tea in the fast. And this is why it's very important. You cannot break the fast with calories, because if there are no calories on board, your body's going to go into your fat stores for energy. So you break down the fat. If you eat food during your fast, your body's going to prefer, because it's easier fuel, to use the calories you just ate. And so the reason why IF, or intermittent fasting, the reason why it reduces belly fat is because it drives your body into the fat stores to break it down to give you energy.
Right. So you described 10 hours in a feeding window, 14 hours of fasting. Is that the magic number?
No. It depends on what you want. So you could do 16-8, 16 feeding, 8 fasting. That's the most conservative to start.
Okay.
You can do 14-10, you can do 12-12. The bigger your fasting window, obviously, the more weight you'll lose, the more you'll drive into your belly fat.
And you know how you know this works? I mean, it's easier for me to say that. I have a hereditary blood condition, so I have to take regular blood tests. The regular blood tests are fasting blood tests. If I'm fasting from 8 p.m. to whenever I can get the blood test, 8 a.m., say, you know, on a Saturday morning, It's not that big a freaking deal. It's just bad habits. It's bad habits. It's 8 a.m. It's, or it's 8 p.m. It's 9 p.m. 9 p.m., I'm watching a TV show I like. I'm going to go get something to eat. And once you get off that, you break that thing, you're not really hungry.
Exactly.
You're just eating because you want to eat.
It's an activity.
Right.
It's not because your body is saying, feed me. It's because it's an activity. And what's interesting is people are already doing IF because think about it. When you sleep, let's say you sleep for 7 hours. That's fasting. You're not eating anything for 7 hours. All we're saying is, at an hour before you go to bed, at an hour when you wake up in the morning, and now you have a fasting window. It's easy. People like it.
It's pretty much my window.
Is that how you do it?
Yeah, because I eat at 10 o'clock. The show ends at 10. I have some oatmeal out there. I usually have that. Yeah, so I bet I have coffee.
Yeah, and you don't go hungry. People say, well, I'm going to go hungry. Trust me on this. I mean, people in the group, I love, we got 20,000 people in this group since 2 weeks. I mean, because I love reading their posts, and they say to me all the time, there's so much food in this plan, I didn't realize I could eat so much food and still, you know, for it be effective. You know, one lady from Canada, about 160 pounds, she dropped 13 pounds in 11 days. Doing nothing special. Now, there is exercise, but it's not exercise where you have to go to the gym and kill yourself. It's 30 minutes. I could do it right here in this studio.
Just move.
It's just movement. And I break it into tracks. I have a beginner track, an intermediate track, an advanced track, and all the exercises are based on just no equipment right in your bedroom or in your, you know, backyard.
What about food groups, carbs, things are...
So you know, hold that thought. Hold that thought, yeah, okay. And also talk about cooking too when we come back.
Okay.
All right, Sandberg, you were asking Dr. Ian K. Smith before the break
about food groups and like carbs, gluten free, like any of those. Is foods off limits in the clean and lean? Or
yeah, so really the guidelines are pretty open. Soda's off limits. Frying is off limits. White flour is off limits, but you can have whole grain or whole wheat flour. So you can have whole grain or whole wheat bread as long as it's 100% whole wheat, whole grain pizza dough. And then canned and frozen are good, by the way, even though people think that canned and frozen are bad. They're good, but they have to be canned in their own juices or in water, mm-hmm, and low sodium. And organic frozen is great. So there really aren't a lot of, you know, and alcohol is a big thing. So, you know, for the purist out there, there's no alcohol for 30 days. But people say, what if I have a glass of alcohol? Well, it's not going to kill you.
Sure. Jesus. It just slows your results.
Yeah, it's just going to, you know, it just may take a little bit out of the results, but it's not going to kill you. So,
by the way, chapter 2 of PrEP, the clean and lean rules, everything you described is right there. So you laid that out easily as well.
Yeah, very easily. I mean, it's just straight up. And what I like about what people are saying to me, I just showed Mary, like this woman here, I didn't know, Kathy Jones Tucker, entering week 3 of cleaner and leaner, and I'm down 13.8 pounds. These are regular people. I don't know these people.
Right.
They're in our group, Cleaner Get Leaner, but they don't have trainers or fancy gourmet chefs. So what I like about it is, and people say, well, you were on a show, Celebrity Fit Club. Yes, but I like working with everyday people because the struggle is real for us, you know what I mean? And I think that people need things that are doable, accessible, affordable, and their whole family can do it.
You got a great list of snacks too. Everybody goes, well, can I snack
or just regular soda?
Both.
Okay. I know you hate soda.
Well, I don't like soda at all, but you know why diet soda? Because artificial sweeteners are 200 times sweeter than sugar, and what happens is you actually get more addicted to wanting sweet because the artificial sweeteners are so sweet. So people say, well, it's not sugar. Yeah, but it's sweeter than sugar. So
if I drink a Diet Coke and suddenly I want chocolate, that doesn't surprise you.
Not at all. Because it releases dopamine in your brain, goes to your pleasure center, and says, I feel good.
Your pleasure center.
Yeah, and then you keep wanting more of it. Yeah, so no, it doesn't surprise me at all. So
what about cooking?
You know, saute some extra virgin olive oil. But you know what? A lot of people order out on this plan because you can get fish, chicken, salads, almost anywhere. Geez, you can go to a fast food restaurant and get a salad with some chicken on it. Or mm-hmm. So it really is customizable. You could be a diabetic. You can have high blood pressure. You can be gluten-free. Everyone is able to, a vegan, vegetarian, everyone can make substitutions in and out of the program.
In 30 days, you're going to know if this thing works for you. And if you can
less than 30.
Yeah, well, that's true. 2 weeks.
Yeah,
and maybe 1 week.
Yeah. I mean, people like right now, people are posting their results from week 1, 7 pounds, 8 pounds. I mean, this lady says, as of midnight tonight, I will stop drinking soda. I hope I can do this. I'm going from 10 cans of sodas a day. 10.
That's unbelievable.
My husband just sent me a text that said, we need to get off the Diet Coke. So that's we drink, but I drink one a day, but still.
If there are two things I could totally eliminate, smokes and soda.
How about other stuff starts with S? Maybe S is the problem.
Let's say your workout comes during your feeding window. What's the right
pre-workout snack meal, or post for that matter?
You know, that's a really good question. Let me answer the question kind of off a little bit first. I actually recommend doing your workout during the fasting window if you can. Because think about it. If you work out during your fasting window, you have no new calories on board because you've been fasting. Your workout is demanding energy. So your body has to go somewhere to get the energy. Where does it go? To your fat stores. And it breaks down your fat. So if you can do a workout during your fasting window, you are magnifying the body's drive into your fat store. And by the way, once again, we're not saying go to the gym for an hour until you fall on the floor. I'm saying if you did 15, 20 minutes of some of the exercises in the book, marching in place, jump rope, I mean, all squats, no machines, you do that during your fasting window, you are going to drive like crazy. Now, during the feeding window, if you're someone who likes to do that, pre-workout should have fast carbs and some protein. Fast carbs and protein. So you want to make sure that, because the protein keeps your blood sugar levels nice and stable, and the fast carbs you need right away for energy.
What's a fast carb?
Oh, yogurt.
Okay.
You know, fruit. Okay,
good.
Fruit's a fast carb. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll have a banana before I work out. I have some yogurt maybe.
Apple.
A little granola. Apple, fast carb. Your body will digest it right away. The blood sugars rise. Boom.
Just, how many hours a night do you sleep?
Six.
This is, you know, Dr. Ian K. Smith is a perfect example of, we all get the same 24 hours. It all depends on what you do with it.
But you know what? Life is short, though.
I don't know how you do the schedule, man.
I just feel, well, look at you. How many hours do you get? You're up earlier than I am.
15 minutes, 20 minutes. Gravity boots hanging upside down like a vampire.
Gravity boots. Hey, listen, for the first five people who hit me up on Instagram, at Dr. Ian Smith, spell the doctor out, I-A-N Smith, you have to mention Steve Cochran. You DM me, say you heard me on Steve Cochran's show, I will send the first five people a copy of Clean and
Lean. Oh, no kidding, will you sign up for them?
Yeah, of course.
You're a good man. You are a good man. Great to see you. You know, you're always welcome here, and your continued success is, well, it's a testament, not just to living healthy, but to doing the right thing, things in life. Clean and Lean, brand new from Dr. Ian K. Smith. This is his 411th book.
Less than your 1,300 shows.
It is just getting started. Good to see you, man.
Good to see you. Thanks, man.
All right, we're coming back in a moment in Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey. You know I love you more than one night.
All right, 8:13 now, and my friend Dean Richards is my fellow moron. Good morning, Dean.
Moron.
All right, so we have a science experiment going on in studio, Dean.
Yeah.
You remember yesterday where I was cocky? And I guess that's how's that different than any other day?
Just yesterday.
And I said that if you put a bottle of water under a blanket in your car, it's going to warm up, dummies. And it turns out I'm the dummy. So we wanted to prove that I'm the dummy today. So we have a regular bottle of water that was equally as cold as the cold bottle of water we wrapped in a blanket now, almost an hour ago.
Okay.
Sandberg is unveiling the bottle of water in the blanket and the regular bottle of water that was outside the blanket. Sandberg, what are your findings?
Okay, my findings are that the bottle of water that was not swaddled in the blanket is a little bit less cold than the one that was in the blanket.
So the one that was wrapped up maintained its coldness.
Yeah, it's noticeably colder.
So what we have here, and Mary Vandeveld, this is going to excite you, what was your scientific term you were whooping on me?
Hypothesis.
The hypothesis.
Nerd alert!
What you're going to find here, Dean, is that in fact, I have earned the term moron in science as well as in entertainment.
I could have told anyone that before all of these experiments took place.
Did you know that if you leave a bottle of water wrapped in a blanket, it's going to stay cold?
It makes sense. It's isn't it just basic insulation?
See, Dean knew.
Yeah, see, Dean knows. And again, I'm just going to cry foul again because we don't have a thermometer involved here.
I was going to say that. I think there should be some mercury dipping.
We have cameras in all the different areas here, Dean.
I'm not suggesting that you're cheating, but
I was in a band called Mercury Dipping.
I would like to say, you know, that one bottle is X degrees and the other bottle is Y degrees.
But I'm telling you, X being the one that's not swaddled, it is. Dave Ennett, he touched
it. I can verify Mary's findings.
That the one that was in the blanket.
The one that was not covered is
warmer.
Slightly less cold. I wouldn't say it's warmer, okay. But it's less cold than the other one.
What are you laughing about?
I'm laughing at the sports camera. There's somebody with pants. We have cameras in all the studios
here. Yeah, and right now in the sports studio, somebody's butt is getting a full show.
Who's in there?
It's not the butt. Nice, it's not the butt.
That's Dave's.
Dave's
studio. They're standing on your desk, Dave.
Unless it's engineering. Could be engineering. I know why.
Oh, here he goes.
Okay. That's true. It's
he's authorized.
Definitely.
What are you saying? There's pole dancing going on?
There is. There's pole dancing going on. Unfortunately, though, it's engineer pole dancing.
In the sports studio. Oh, here he goes again.
Oh, here he goes.
He's got some nice wrinkle-free pants on, though. That's pretty good. I like that.
Hello, I'm here to clean your pool.
I never thought it would happen to me. World premiere of The Avengers was last night. You don't talk about that. We got a Jimmy Fallon story. We got a Britney Spears story. We got a Jim Carrey story. And we got a BTS story because Dean is nuts for Korean supergroups.
You know what? Ever since we've been doing these BTS stories, my profile with the young kids, Uncle Dean has never been more popular ever since I've been doing these BTS stories like crazy.
Through the roof.
Our young viewers, through the roof, and listeners, through the roof right
they
now.
They love it.
We like Uncle Dean. Here's my clear cell.
All right, so here's the deal. When we come back, Dean will go through all of that. And, God, there's two or three really good stories off the air I wish I could tell you on the air. Dean, I'll have to call you after the show.
Okay.
Because they're great stories, and they would create meetings and lawsuits.
Really?
Yeah. All right, stand by. We'll come back in just a second, 8:17. That's why it's valuable not to call me a moron and be my friend. I'm telling you right now. It's 8:17. More in just a moment.
You'll be calling his name. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor, Channel 9720.
God, I slept terribly last night.
What do you mean?
I was up every 90 minutes. Not to pee. I was just up every 90 minutes.
I got 2 hours of sleep last night.
Yeah, it was crazy. Same then I woke up at 3:30, wide awake.
I rode the streetcar for a nickel. I can't sleep.
I blame the temperature. Is that it? Yeah, it was hot. That's what we were hot, and I had the air conditioning on.
I'm very hot.
Sandberg and Pat Boyle, her husband, have their bedroom temperature set at absolute zero. It's 212 below zero.
That's good sleeping, though.
Probably
that's
had the air on last night.
We did have the air on. Oh, gosh, yeah. The house was 68.
When you keep it that cold, why not just sleep in your lawn? I mean, why even have a house?
I don't know.
I had the windows open almost all day yesterday.
Then you got to hear things, though.
Yeah, just gunshots and stuff.
Murders. Neighborhood murders.
We like 64. 64 is our ideal sleeping temperature.
64?
That is nice when it's nice and crisp in the room.
I like my face to feel chilled.
I enjoy that.
I remember when I was a kid, my dad used to say, "What temperature would you like a room, son?" Gotta sleep!
My dad had a slightly different expression regarding the temperature and lights on in a room.
Yeah, sure.
Having to do with, let's say, he didn't personally manufacture money himself.
Yes.
Are you heating the whole neighborhood?
Yeah, sort of like that, yes.
Yeah, and colder than a witch. I mean, I remember that one as well. The Avengers Endgame premiere last night.
Last night in Los Angeles, actually at the Los Angeles Convention Center. This event was huge. All of the stars from what they say is going to be the final installment of the Avengers movies all got together last night. Robert Downey Jr., Paul Rudd, Scarlett Johansson, Chris Hemsworth. The whole gang, everybody.
So, Dean, did you see Natalie Portman was there?
Natalie Portman was there.
That's quite a buzz.
Has not been in a Marvel movie for a very long time. But a lot of people like that showed up who had, I guess it was because it's the final chapter. Mm. People were showing up because, it's like sort of a class reunion, I guess.
Okay.
And people just wanted to be part of it. The stars that were there, not surprisingly, are saying that the movie was fantastic. I'm actually going to see it this afternoon.
It's too long. It's 3 hours long.
Tomorrow morning, I will be able to tell you how many times I had to go pee during the movie.
It's too long.
This is what I'm going to report. Not so much if I like the movie, but how many times I had to get up to go to the bathroom during the 3 hours.
I think that should be your new scoring system. Like, it was so good, I couldn't leave, no matter how bad I had to go. It was one pee.
I give it three flushes.
But the more flushes, that would mean the less good the movie is.
Right. And not one of those flushes that you just happen because you happen to be standing there.
Right.
I mean a real one where you have to actually pull the lever.
Ah, old school.
I like the flush old school stuff.
Oh, sure. All right, what's the Jimmy Fallon story?
Jimmy Fallon last night did a really, really smart little play on the history of the Avengers set to the tune of Billy Joel's We Didn't Start the Fire. We'll just play just a little bit of it for you.
Tony Stark, Iron Man, Nick Fury has a plan. Big Shot, Pepper Potts, on Reactor Core. Asgard, Kitchen War, Loki and his brother Thor. Bruce Banner, Radiation Transformation.
Oh, it's really, who wrote it?
I have no idea, but whoever it is needs to get some sort of award. It's genius. And the way
and that it tied to the film clips?
It's completely tied to film clips, but also sort of hand-drawn animation. Very much like that beginning Marvel credit that they show at the beginning of all of the movies. It's beautifully done, and at the end they pay tribute to Stan Lee, who passed away.
Well, that's very cool.
It's all over the internet. I've got it posted on my Facebook and all my social media, so you can take a look at that.
What's going on with Britney Spears?
Britney Spears, it was revealed yesterday, was allowed to leave the mental health facility where she checked herself in about a week or so ago. She got out for Easter Sunday, spent the day with her family, her boyfriend. She has checked herself in because she's having difficulty dealing with her father's illness right now. But
he's dying, right?
Spent the day. Those are the reports. I believe I heard that it's colon cancer, and that spent the day, went right back in the next day, and is working on her mental health right now.
Jim Carrey.
This is an interesting story. Yesterday, Ariana Grande posted a tweet directed toward Jim Carrey, because she has said that how she has dealt with depression, and she said, quoting my friend Jim Carrey, she posts this beautiful verse about that, depression is your body's way of telling you need to slow down. Mm-hmm. It really is rather lovely. And Jim Carrey responded to it yesterday, thanking Ariana Grande for the attention and for dealing, forthright with her own depression issues. But here are two people that you would never think in the world would be linked, but who are through the I don't know if treatment exactly, but at least acknowledgement that they are dealing with depression and have some awareness that they are and trying to do something about it.
And again, until we treat it like cancer and heart disease and every other major disease, we're never going to make major strides in dealing with depression short of miracle drugs.
Yep.
So never tell somebody to walk it off or snap out of it. It's that serious.
Yeah, this quote, it says, your body needs to be depressed. It needs deep rest from the character that you have been trying to play. That's kind of profound.
That is profound.
That's really kind of profound.
Well, it's
sorry to bring it up during this segment. I know it's...
No, but it's certainly true of me because, as you know, I've been performing Carol Channing ever since she passed. And my body needs a break.
If you haven't heard Steve do Diamonds Are a Girl's Best Friend.
Well, hello, Dolly.
We should best be... if for no other reason that we're designated morons, that we both do a dead-on Carol Channing impersonation.
Well, the key to Dolly is you got to pause, right? It's, well, hello, pause, 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 pause,
Dolly.
I tell you what, if the audience found this segment as entertaining as you and I did. BTS.
My favorite subject now, because this has opened up a whole new world of audience base for us. The teenage girls love the Korean boy band BTS. It's maybe the most popular group in the world.
Boy Toy Shorties? What does BTS stand for?
I don't know. It's something in Korean. I don't remember what it is. But
the only Korean I know is kimchi.
I have been... A lovely girl. I think you took her to the prom, didn't
you? I did, yeah.
Kimchi?
Yeah, she was all hands.
So they have a new album out called Map of the Soul Persona. Came out a week ago.
It's beyond the scene.
It's beyond the scene.
Steve, BTS?
Like, as I say, something in Korean.
Yes. All right. Okay.
This new album just came out less than a week ago. It's got 7 songs on it. Already, all 7 of those songs have charted on the Billboard charts. That has not happened since the Beatles, where all the songs on one album chart, plus BTS has now earned 3 number one albums on the Billboard charts in the past 11 months. The last group to ever have 3 albums on the charts in less than a year, the Beatles. And I think you can see why the songs are so popular now.
The lyrics are so catchy.
Yeah, very memorable.
So do they sing in English as well?
I think phonetically they do, yes.
Okay.
I think they do phonetically. And that is our pandering to BTS fans segment. I will get emails today saying thank you, they call me Mr. Dean. Thank you, Mr. Dean, for talking and being a fan of BTS.
Mm.
And I'm with you 1,000%. Your Uncle Dean loves the BTS as you do.
Yeah, and by the way, the outfit looks great on you. Hey, before you go, have you followed this popcorn recipe thief story?
I don't know what you mean. Oh, the Garrett's?
Yeah, the Garrett's popcorn thing. It was only 3 people that knew the secret recipe. Yeah.
And some employee stole the secret recipe?
Yeah. I didn't know Garrett's popcorn had a secret recipe.
Like Kentucky Fried Chicken?
Yeah, that's like what I was thinking. KFC, the 7 herbs and spices. That's the only secret recipe I'm aware of.
Yeah. I didn't know that. Isn't it just caramel corn and cheese corn?
It's heaven on kernels.
It is heaven on kernels. That's true, but...
I like to suck on it.
Call Nick, because I believe she just made out of context in a Hall of Fame fashion.
Right. I thought it was just cheese. I mean, it's not real cheese, obviously. It's like cheese dust.
Right.
Some kind of cheese.
Same stuff they use in the magic of Cheetos.
Powder cheese and caramel corn.
Right.
What's the big secret?
Okay. Is there a secret recipe, Dean, that you're aware of that we don't know? Because it seems like I Google secret recipes for something and everybody has copied it. Mayor Vanderbilt, you've talked about this. Recreating recipes that are supposedly secret and making them at home.
Yeah, like the Portillo's cake.
Yeah.
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 But well, they can't do the lemon cake because
everybody knows
that.
Well, I think it's just the lemon. Instead of chocolate, it's lemon, but it's still a cake that's made with mayonnaise instead of oil.
Right.
Right.
I think that's it. The only secret recipe that I know is Greek chicken, which is olive oil, lemon, and anger.
Have fun at the Avengers.
See ya.
All right, goodbye. There is an app out that I'll bring this up to Dean tomorrow. It's the Run P app. RUNPWE. It exists to improve your movie-going experience. It'll tell you the best times to run and pee without missing the good scenes in the movie.
Oh, that's smart.
Mm-hmm. More on that tomorrow. Investigative reporting at its finest.
With equipment like this in the home of the future, we may not have to go to work.
Now, from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
In the 21st century, it may be that no home will be complete without a computerized communications console.
It's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Coming up in November, make your plans now, November 2nd. Sebastian Maniscalco, tickets will be on sale this is it Friday? Yeah, this Friday at SebastianLive.com. We're going to need bigger places for Sebastian to play. Sebastian used to play clubs in town, then he just started playing, medium-sized theaters, and then larger theaters and arenas. He did Madison Square Garden. He's going to do the United Center. So Sebastian at Soldier Field.
Oh, there you go. That is the next step.
Now we'll put him in Grant Park.
Yeah.
The most successful guy in comedy, and nobody's close. Sebastian Maniscalco, Arlington Heights, right?
Arlington Heights, yeah, northwest suburbs. Grew up, went to Rolling Meadows High School, and then Northern Illinois University up in DeKalb. So good to come back home and play in the house that Jordan built.
Yeah, so did you ever think that would happen?
No, no. I mean, listen, when I started stand-up comedy, the goal was just to do this for a living, and the people of Chicago have been so great to me. I come into the Chicago Theater, the Rosemont Theater, and this time we're like, you know, let's just open it up a little bigger and go to the arena. I was exhausted doing 10 shows in Chicago, so we're going to do the United Center.
Oh.
And yeah.
I get it, because you were doing those, you had to keep doing so many shows because it was selling out so many, so if you just get one big arena, you
but
can 10, get all
well,
in one.
10 shows at the Chicago Theater is 30,000 people. One show at the United Center is about, what, 26.5, 27.5, somewhere in there. So you're close.
Yeah, I do it in the round. I try to make it as intimate as I possibly can. I mean, let's be honest, the comedy is best absorbed in a comedy club. Love Zanies and, you know, 180 sure. people, low ceilings. That's where you really feel the stand-up comedy. And once you start going into a gymnasium, you might lose some nuances. But the way I do it with the screen above my head and kind of in the round, I try to make it as intimate
well, plus,
as possible.
Well, plus, you are gestures and face and your whole body seizures several times. I mean, the way you do it, you can see it in the back row upstairs.
Yeah, I'm very physical. I'm very expressive. And you're right. I'm really kind of populating that stage with my body at all times. So looking forward to this. Although it's in November, we're promoting early here because my fans are early and on the tickets. So, yeah, looking forward to the Chicago run.
So now that you're going to be at the United Center, you know, people like Justin Timberlake perform there, and they do elaborate stages, and you can swing from the ceiling and things like that. Are you going to incorporate any of that type of stuff?
Yeah, you're probably going to come in on a trapeze, aren't you? Isn't that the move?
I'm not going to be doing any fly-ins. However, there is a little drama to the entrance when I do arenas. So, yeah, put it this way, there's a little pyrotechnics.
Oh.
You got one of our favorite people, a longtime friend of the show from stand-up and other places, Pat McGann, who's been opening for you all over the country, another one of Chicago's finest, and he's a great dude, isn't he?
Pat's been doing this with me for, I think, going on 2 years, and, you know, he's so good. I mean, he's definitely going to be doing theaters on his own soon, but the way this guy really kind of sets up the audience for me, he's the best opener, I think, in the game, and he's really, really on his way to being, an unbelievable talent and headliner. Yeah, so Chicago breeds a lot of stand-up comedy, just happy to be a part of it all.
So your family is notorious for asking for a lot of tickets to your shows. Are you capping it like 5,000 for United Center?
Yeah, how many comps? 5,000 comps? 10,000 comps? What do we know?
Well, the first show is basically for the family and friends. So subsequently, hopefully, we'll add show two and three for the,
right,
for the general
right,
public.
For the people to actually pay.
So you are now, we can call you an Oscar winner. And when we were watching, my husband and I were watching the Oscars and Green Book won, we were waiting for you to jump on stage. But then the group got large and it's like, is he in there or is he not in there? Did you get on stage?
No, I was in the mezzanine three, last row. Okay, so what
that's
I was
where they put a nice
do...
Italian kid from Arlington Heights.
Yeah, I knew this was going to be a nightmare when they gave me the ticket, and I'm in the third balcony. I'm like, how am I going to get down to the first floor? So I was trying to make my way to the first floor, and it was like a hot nightclub. I'm trying to tell the guy, no, I'm in the movie. I'm in the movie. So I didn't get on, and of course my father's watching from Chicago, and he's calling me. He goes, where are you? You got the craft services on stage, and you're
right,
not.
Right, right.
What's going on? So I didn't make it on the stage, but yeah, Green Book won for Best Picture, and it was really great to be a part of the film.
By the way, for people that think, wow, Sebastian came out of nowhere, how great to be an overnight sensation. You've been working at this forever.
I left Chicago. Chicago, 1998, shortly after graduating college. I think I spent 1 year there. I was working at the Living Room in Schaumburg, waiting tables, and I was working at United Airlines Employees Credit Union to get a little scratch to come out here. So I came out here with 10 grand in 1998, started working at the Four Seasons Hotel, and 2019? And
21 years later, you can't even, you know, at this point, I'm worried about you having too much money. You need to send some to us and we'll hold it for you.
No, my father's taking care of that. Oh,
okay.
Believe me.
Well, I was going to let you see it. And what was the, I don't know that I've ever asked you this, what was the tipping point? Was it Vince Vaughn and the Wild West show that really got you over to the next level?
Well, that got me playing the clubs on a regular basis. That kind of catapulted me into headlining the clubs. But, you know, with this business, I can't, like, pinpoint, oh, yeah, it was a that really kind of, it was more like a foundation of bricks that I was just kind of putting together. It'd be a Tonight Show or a Showtime special.
Sure. Building a career.
Yeah, you know, it's not like Johnny Carson, where in the 80s you went on Johnny, and the next day you were selling out the theaters.
Yeah, didn't work that way anymore.
Yeah, this is more YouTube, viral videos, Showtime, Netflix. It's a culmination of things. So, yeah, I can't pinpoint one. But the Vaughn thing really took me out of waiting tables and into a club.
Vince is a good dude.
Yeah, definitely.
So, Sebastian, you're pretty recognizable, but because you talk about your family and things, your dad is also recognizable. Does he consider himself a celebrity in his own
and
right?
And does he have an agent?
Are you kidding me? The last time I came to Chicago, I did a book signing at a bookstore, and I was set up signing the books. I was opening the book, and a signature was already in there. I go, what's going on? He goes, your father's on the other end of the bookstore with his own table. I go, what, is he signing my book? So, yeah, this guy is he's loving it. He wants an agent. He wants residuals. He's taking notes on my act. So,
and by the way, he's worth every penny. Every penny.
Yeah.
Hey, before you go, stand-up comedy is not the most giving business in the world, and green rooms can get a little bitter and backstage and things of that nature. But because you're a good guy, and you've been a good guy for a long time, I think the jealousy and bitterness has been limited. At least I hope so.
You know, everybody's really happy. You know, I mean, the comedy community, I think, over the last 21 years I've been in it, very supportive of one another. I'm not saying everybody is, but, I mean, in general, I think a lot of comedians are happy that other comedians are doing well, and I haven't found any jealousy coming
That's
my
great.
Way. It's one of those things where, you know, everybody's working hard to get where they're at, and I look at it, if Kevin Hart's doing arenas, I don't begrudge that at all. I'm looking at that like, hey, I want to do arenas too. So, for me, it's the more success comedians are having, the better it is for business.
Yeah, here's the bottom line. The show business is an easy scorecard. If you sell tickets, you're a star. You're selling a lot of tickets, man, and we're very happy for you. So, again, tickets on sale Friday. If you know Sebastian and already are in the first show, 27,000 comps, good for you. The tickets are on sale Friday, November 2nd. Seems like a long ways away. Maybe there'll be an extra show. Maybe not. I'd get tickets for the first one first, and they're going to sell out super quick. What's the website, by the way?
SebastianLive.com. You could get your tickets there, and you could find me on all the social media there. And yeah, I can't wait for November.
Speaking of the social media, you posted the cutest picture of your daughter from the weekend.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, she's like a ham, this one. This one is got a lot of personality. She's just like her mother. She's so happy and outgoing. And
how old is she now?
She's going to be 2 on Friday,
That's
so we're
best.
Having a party here
That's
at the house with a mermaid.
All right, and you got to do, and that mermaid's got to do 20 minutes, easy, 20-25.
Definitely.
At 25, give the mermaid the light. It's Sebastian Maniscalco. Congrats, man. We'll see you in Chicago.
Thanks for having me on. Take care.
All right, see you later. Just killing it.
My mom just texted and said, oh, I just love this guy.
Everybody does.
I know, he's funny.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Every time I move, I lose when I look I'm in. And every time I turn around, I'm back in love. I can mix the emotion.
8:55 now. Earlier this morning, we did a science experiment proving that I'm a moron. And that was because I said a water bottle, a cold water bottle wrapped up in a blanket would warm up. when in fact it maintained its cold temperatures. So because of that, I've developed a newfound interest in science, Dave.
Really?
Yes. I'm going to tell you some fascinating
scientific
facts.
Even at this advanced
age? Yes, even at 58. The DNA in your body, Dave, if I uncoiled the DNA in your body, first off, that would hurt. But if I uncoiled the DNA in your body, it would stretch from Pluto to the sun and back.
Okay, fiction.
It's not fiction. It's a fact. It's a science fact.
Really?
You got a lot of
that
DNA.
Seems like a long way.
Well, you got a lot of DNA. I don't know what to tell you. A person's sneeze can travel at speeds of 100 miles an hour.
I believe that.
Fleas jump around 130 times their own height. So if a flea were a person and that person was 6 feet high, that means from a standing position, you could jump 780 feet and get a lot of money in the NBA.
But they have springs in their legs, though.
They do?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
You think so or you know?
I think so.
I like the fact that you think so. Let's see. The Earth is between 4 and 5 billion years old. Same age as the moon and the sun.
Makes sense.
And yet the Earth looks pretty good for its age, even with all the damage we've done.
It's had a lot of work done.
Our planet is mostly made up of iron, carbon, and silicon, a little bit of magnesium, and nougat.
That's fiction.
There's no nougat. We're the only planet in the solar system containing 21% oxygen in the atmosphere and water on its surface, thus sustaining life.
I thought Mars is close, isn't it?
I don't know. I haven't been there lately.
Okay.
The surface of the Earth is made of tectonic plates that float around on a rocky mantle lying between the surface and the core. Mm-hmm. Why is that important?
Why is that important?
Because when the tectonic plates shift, you get an earthquake.
That's what I was going to say, but I thought that sounded too simple.
No, that's actually very true. There's about 8.7 million unique species living on Earth. Of those, 2.2 million are in the ocean and the rest are on land. And as much as 50% of those that are in the ocean, no one has ever seen. So I ask you, how do we know they're there?
That's a good question.
3/4 of the Earth is covered with water. When astronauts first saw the planet from space, they could mostly see water. That's where the term blue planet comes from. We cut down around 27,000 trees every day to make toilet paper.
27,000?
Yeah. We need a lot of toilet paper.
Boy, man, the day after Earth Day, talking about that, huh?
97% of the water on the planet is salty and not usable. 2% is frozen. That leaves us with just 1% of usable water to take care of the planet.
Is that counting this bottle sitting over here?
It is now.
The blanket?
Yeah, it is now. And sadly, 99% of all the species that ever existed on this planet are believed to have become extinct, and the 1% we do have are the newest of the 100% in all. That's not a good one to end on.
No,
yeah, and the number kind of extinct species growing exponentially every year.
Squirrels plant more trees than the average human being does or could in their lifetime. They hide acorns and nuts underground and forget about them because squirrels are drinkers, and then they turn into trees.
That makes sense.
And they also tease neighborhood dogs.
Is that a good one to end on? I don't feel like I can end on one until you tell me it's okay.
You do a good dolphin impression? Maybe we should end on a dolphin one. Do you have a dolphin?
I don't have one of those, no.
Can you do a British impression?
Of course I can.
There you go. Nailed it.
The oldest living tree in California is the oldest living tree in the world. The estimate of how old it is
a million years old.
No, it's not a million. No, it's not a million years old. 4,843 years old. Isn't that amazing?
Is that a sequoia?
It's a million.
It's actually a Christmas tree.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Artificial?
Artificial.
That would make sense.
Yeah. The hottest planet in the solar system, and you can tell because of its ego, is Venus. Just Venus, the way Venus acts. You know, Venus thinks it's hot.
Not Mercury?
No, Venus is hotter than Mercury. 450 degrees Celsius. Just end on the squirrel impression.
Yeah.
Core temperature of the sun, Earth's closest star. I mean, you know, that's the kind of thing where you go, it's a dry heat, but that doesn't make any difference. 15 million degrees Celsius.
Okay, what thermometer can measure that? Because it would melt, right?
You can get 9, even though once you get at Walgreens.
Okay.
Yeah, they all work. Yeah. And finally, Einstein was a late bloomer, but a genius. His brain was preserved for studies after his death because not only is it slightly larger than the normal human brain, it is also much more active. And they are still to this day, even though Einstein's been dead for a very long time, studying Einstein's brain.
Wasn't your brain confused with his at one point?
Yes. And they decided my brain was below average.
Parts of Einstein's brain are missing as well. Samples, that's true. Gone missing,
You thought they were, but you can buy them on Amazon. Right now,
eBay,
and they'll be delivered in Prime by Thursday. It's a minute after nine. Hi to everybody on CLTV. When we come back in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, Steve will be there.
Well, this is definitely Wacker Drive. If my estimations are correct, we should be very close.
Steve Cochran on 720 WGN,
Chicago, a technological hub, and possibly a hub for international modeling. As you know, my supermodel days are now behind me. I'm mostly coaching now, Dave.
Well, it's understandable.
But a very cool story about a cool business that's popped up before 10 o'clock. Speaking of cool stories, you like fabulous, colorful photography? You like animation? You like classical children's themes? You like all that stuff?
All of the above.
You're going to like this book, Chicago Treasure. Sandberg, you want to do the introduction?
I do. If I could just go back, we had the author Larry Broutman in studio with his book, Chicago Monumental, months and months ago. And my stepdaughter, Catherine, was in studio as well by chance for her birthday. And he saw her and he said, hey, would she like to be a part about this project that I'm working on? And it's a children's book. And we're putting different kids in traditional fairy tales, but rewriting stories, etc. And, of course, Catherine wanted to do it. So we went to Larry's house. He took a picture of her. And then she ended up in this book that you're looking at now, which was also co-authored with Rich Green. And I don't know how to pronounce John's last name. So
Rabius.
Rabius. Okay.
John
Rabius. Rich is with us now. And he is one of the authors and the illustrator.
So Larry and John and Rich got together on this photography, text, concept, illustration, digital effects, all specialties.
Correct.
So the three of you needed each other.
Yes, exactly. So I was taking a continuing ed class at Art Institute, and John was the instructor of that class, and he got to know me a little bit and knew that I worked on children's
just
books.
Last summer?
A couple summers ago. Yeah, it's been a couple summers now. And so at the time, he was working with Larry on some of Larry's former books, like you mentioned, and when Larry said, hey, I've got this great idea to put children into all of these different, you know, scenarios with storybooks and fairy tales, John said, hey, I know a guy, he can do illustrations for us, and that's how I
classic
got into
Chicago.
The fold.
Classic Chicago. Classic. I got a guy.
Yeah. And so that was a little over 3.5, almost 4 years ago now that started. And in the beginning, Larry said, hey, we're going to do maybe 10 or 12 of these illustrations. And in the book total, there's over 150 images, 63 illustrations, right? And as you were mentioning, your daughter is playing the role of Belle in Beauty and the Beast. Mm-hmm. And what people wouldn't know behind the scenes is that Mary herself is actually sitting in for the Beast during the photo. So
I was Beast. I stood there. And so, Catherine, we posed.
You haven't been called Beast very often.
No, I have not. And you did a good job making me look like the regular Beast. But I did stand there with the picture. And like Larry, we actually went to his apartment. He took the photo, you know, in his living room.
Mm-hmm.
Catherine and I in regular clothes.
Mm-hmm.
And then
You went to work on the digital side.
Yeah, so I would do stuff with Larry beforehand oftentimes where I would send him sketches and ideas, poses of how the people might want to pose or how we might work with. And again, he's working with kids of all different ages and abilities.
Sure.
So we had to keep some of that in mind when we were planning. And then he would take photos and then send over, you know, a series of photos. And sometimes the photos would be able to be used outright. Other times we might have to take the better body pose with the better smile and merge them together to get the kids to look the way we wanted to. And when the project started, it was children that were from the preschool programs at the Chicago Lighthouse that Larry is also a board member of.
And we're big fans of the Lighthouse and all the work they do.
Yeah, and the author proceeds from the book goes to the Chicago Lighthouse and to Access Living. So he sent me over some photos of these children from the preschool, and they would be in their plain clothes. And as kind of the project evolved, we started putting them into costumes and getting more and more involved in it. And
so the ideas spurned other ideas.
Yeah, and what would happen with the children is when you put them in the little costumes and stuff, they would come to life in a whole new way because it was this playful moment for them. So
I guess they wouldn't have spurned ideas, it would have spawned ideas.
Spawned ideas.
If it spurned ideas, it would have meant we shut them down.
We shut them down.
The book is fabulous, and as you mentioned, the Lighthouse, for people that don't know, the Lighthouse employs visually impaired and completely blind individuals who are obviously dealing with a considerable speed bump in life, who amazingly have achieved on levels that you couldn't even begin to understand, including making these beautiful clocks that become the main fundraiser for the Lighthouse. So we encourage you to look into everything the Lighthouse does. But you say proceeds from the book goes to the Chicago Lighthouse?
Yeah, the Chicago Lighthouse and Access Living.
Very cool.
Yeah.
And the book is not just a chill. I mean, it is a gorgeous. These illustrations are beautiful.
It kind of blends between being a children's story, if you will. It's based on children's stories, but it also then is really a coffee table photography book that really applies to all ages because it allows you to kind of reminisce about stories of old with fresh new takes and spins on some of the writing that we did, as well as to enjoy the children in some of the famous pieces of art that are on display at the Art Institute, and then just some whimsical scenes of children doing these fantastical things all around Chicago. So, yeah, it's got a lot of different audiences that enjoy it. And we also really like the fact that it blends classic stories with a whole new cast of characters. So gender roles, race, abilities, doesn't make any difference. We're trying to make sure that everyone realizes, especially these children that were in there, that they can become anything they want to be. So it's kind of the message of access and inclusion for everybody.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Now, you're not exactly working with Microsoft Word here. What is the digital stuff you use?
I use Adobe Photoshop for predominantly all the work.
Like a Photoshop anybody could buy?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So obviously you just have a lot of practice.
A lot of practice.
And if you recall, Steve, when we had the lighthouses up and down Michigan Avenue last summer, they had all the Chicago treasure pictures were on the lighthouse outside of the Disney store.
Right.
And it was beautiful.
Yeah.
Do you know where that lighthouse ended up? Who bought
that? Yeah, so I'm the one that actually did the art for, obviously created the art and then actually created the lighthouse for that one.
Okay.
And it was donated back to the Chicago Lighthouse and it actually is on their premises.
Okay.
So that all these children and the families who come back and interact with the facility get to see it all the time, right? Because the preschool program there blends visually abled and visually disabled children together so that they start to learn and understand one another when they go off into other types of classrooms. So.
This is not something you can do in an hour. This is not a caricature business where you sit on a stool, I come over and you draw my face.
Right.
Having said that, everybody that sees this book, they're going to want their kids to be able to do this. You know?
That's also true, but also every kid that Larry meets, he wants to add on another one to put
in. Good.
So he's already talking about other kids and the book's already out. So
I think by the time Catherine got asked, we had to get there for a photo pretty quickly because all of a sudden a deadline, he had already had a deadline extended because he was adding kids.
That's true. And the deadline at that moment was to get you on the lighthouse.
Oh, yeah. Okay,
because
that's
she then was featured dancing in the doorway of the
right
lighthouse.
There. Yeah,
exactly.
It was the coolest.
And we had to turn the lighthouse in and we wanted to make sure she was on there. So.
Wild.
Congratulations on it. It's amazing. And speaking of the lighthouse, there's some original poetry and writing in here as well. And Larry co-writes with Sandy Horowitz something called Being Blind, which goes like this. Although I'm blind and cannot see, I ask you not to pity me. I hear sounds much more than you. And with my braille, I read well, too. And goes on to describe what it's like to be blind and saying, I'm different, but don't pity me, which is kind of a theme throughout the book, right?
Right, exactly. You want them to be treated the same as everyone else and to be able to have access to everything that everyone else does, correct?
It's really cool.
And the other thing is the Chicago Lighthouse is throwing a book launch party for us at their north location in Glenview on May 4th from 11 till 1, and that's open to the public. There'll be snacks, entertainment for the kids, all kinds of things. We'll be there, myself, Larry, and John, book signing. So if people would like to stop out there, they can come by and see the project and meet those involved.
Nicely done.
Thank you.
Yes, and I will say hi to my friend Dave Huber, who's a big supporter of the Lighthouse as well. And if people want to buy this book, what do they do?
They can go to thechicagolighthouse.com, and they can also go to Amazon.
It's great. It's really cool. How many copies do you have, Samber?
I've got 4.
All right.
Yeah, it's great. You selling one back to Kat?
Yes.
Yeah.
She's going to have to pay for it. Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you so
much. Nice work by you.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
We got a urologist who texted us after hearing us talk about the Run Pee app, where it's an app that'll tell you the best time in a movie to get up and go to the bathroom so you don't miss anything. What's more annoying, by the way, missing it or being the person who didn't get up and then the person comes back from the bathroom and goes, tell me what happened?
Or the person who
didn't get up and you have to climb over them to get back to your seat.
So if I could just add an option in there that's annoying is when the person that you live with gets up and goes to the bathroom because they think they're not going to care. But when they come back, they catch a glimpse of something they care about and then rewind to catch what they missed. So you
without even asking
twice. Well, sometimes he says, I'm gonna back this up. And it's like, well, you should have just paused it. Because I don't care if it gets paused, but I hate having to see it twice.
Right.
And why you should just assume, you should always just assume pause when you get up. Because the, oh, wait, this looks good. Let me rewind it. Also, we've been contacted by somebody that works in a urology hospital. And he's going to get us a rep for the Run P app on tomorrow with Dean. So
fantastic.
Right. So this will be it'll be medical and entertainment.
That's what I'm talking about.
Totally agree about the pausing situation. I mean, if you're going to go somewhere and then watch what I just watched again, like, just pause it. Just don't waste my time.
I'm glad I don't live with either of you.
I'll look at Instagram while you're in the bathroom, and then when you come back out, we can resume watching.
Yeah, I'm not trying to hear something that I didn't want to watch in the first place twice. So
these are people who you're watching with, who are your loved ones, who are supportive, and you support them. So if they get up and they miss, don't you want to let them see a little...
I just like a little bit of planning there. We could have saved me my.
How come you don't have control of the remote where you can pause it when he gets
up? I never
out?
Have control of the remote. And this
I
is,
could not live like that. I could not live that way if I don't have control of the remote.
You're the man. And sometimes when I do have control, his hand flops around like it's like missing an appendage because he wants it back. But the other thing he also does is
so he does like hand signals to flip through.
He'll like keep like oh, and then he tells me I'm not good at fast forwarding and hitting the mark, so that's annoying. But he will go, he will go. He has control of the remote and he always puts it on his right side. I sit on the left side of the couch. He will go into the kitchen and say, hey, he'll hear it. And he's, pause this. So then I have to move from my comfortable spot over to the whole other side to get the remote so I can pause it. Again, going back to if he would just pause when he leaves the room. But and then I'm always like, I don't have the remote. And then sometimes when he misplaces it for a second, do you have the remote? And like, do I ever have the remote? No. Don't look for it over here. You always have it.
I think the person left in the room, much like the last person on a ship that's sinking, it's up to you to take control of the remote when you're the only one in the room. Don't just let it sit there. Otherwise, you become part of the problem. You pounce on the remote like a Secret Service agent stopping someone from harming the president. And you make sure that either it's paused or it's fast-forwarded or it's rewound to where you want it to be.
Don't you just say, I got to get up for a second. Can we just pause it?
I just wear a diaper.
Well, yeah, I'd be cool if somebody said that. Nobody says that. They leave the room and then they come back and say,
it's outrageous behavior.
It?
It's outrageous.
And I never have control anyway.
Do you eat when you're watching TV? Do you guys eat when you watch TV?
We do.
Yeah. Do you ever have McDonald's?
No.
Well, why are you being so judgmental about it?
McDonald's at your house?
Yeah, why not? Bring it home.
Isn't it supposed to be food you eat on the go?
No, not necessarily.
If you go and pick it up and bring it home.
I guess. We never have that.
Here's a smooth talk show host transition.
Yeah, tell me about this, though. Now I want a sausage, egg, and cheese McMuffin, though.
I have a story here. McDonald's is adding some of its biggest hits from around the world to its American menu in June because of a leaked memo. The fast food giant is at least considering adding 4 worldwide favorites to the menu. Business Insider reporting the new menu items include the Grand McExtreme Bacon Burger that they serve in Spain, the Stroopwafel McFlurry from the Netherlands.
Oh.
Oh, I saw those when I was over there last year.
Stroopwafel McFlurries?
Well, yeah, I wasn't in the Netherlands, but I did see Stroopwafel McFlurries.
Tomato mozzarella chicken sandwich from Canada.
That sounds good.
And something that's already shown up, so we know this is probably real, cheesy bacon fries.
Oh.
Came from Australia.
Steve Grzanich, have you had the cheesy bacon fries?
Oh, Steve right now is consulting on a news story, apparently.
They're probably only at select McDonald's, though.
The one I've been told by a listener here works at the new one down here in the West Loop, the brand new headquarters, and they have a lot of different options there that they don't have everywhere.
The cheesy bacon fries I've seen at McDonald's for my daily
You've
diet.
You've seen bacon
Coke.
Ones?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay, because I thought there was just cheese.
You can add the bacon as well.
But that McFlurry, I like McFlurries, and I like the McFlurry spoon. It's like a square kind of...
All right, I haven't had a McFlurry in a long time. I bet it's been 5 years. But the last time I had one, they jam the spoon down in the McFlurry, like almost to the bottom. Mm-hmm. And then you take the spoon out and it's covered with ice
cream. Covered in ice cream. You're right. That is the problem. That is. But they make the spoon sturdy enough to be able to scoop out McFlurry. Because if it was just a regular bendy, like the spoon would break. But this is a squarely constructed.
Well, because I eat all of my meals in the car, three meals a day, it just could make a mess.
Yeah. There's a. Now I want some French fries.
How about the Stroopwafel McFlurry? You giving up on it?
I want that one. I don't want to bring up another name, but they're opening a Culver's right by my house, and I'm going to have access to that custard.
They're also considering Malaysia's version of a McDonald's thing called a barbecue McShaker fry. I don't know what that is.
Do you remember when they used to have the salad shakers?
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if it's...
McSpicy chicken from Hong Kong?
McSpicy.
Grand McExtreme...
The Grand McExtreme?
The Grand McExtreme, which has been tested in Florida, is a fresh beef quarter pounder topped with McBacon sauce, more bacon, Gouda cheese, and slivered onions. The Stroopwafel McFlurry is vanilla soft serve with added caramel waffle cookies. Those are Stroopwafels and caramel sauce. Obviously, both very healthy. And the tomato mozzarella chicken sandwich, oddly enough, is a chicken sandwich with tomato and mozzarella.
Wow. Yeah,
I love tomato and mozzarella, so that's a good...
Between Chipotle and these things, all the stuff I've never had, I'm learning about this morning.
You've never been to McDonald's?
I've been to McDonald's. not lately.
9:33, and Steve, what was the question you had for Grzenich?
I want to know if he's tried the cheesy bacon fries at McDonald's.
I have, yes. And I don't think they're there anymore because my McDonald's doesn't have them anymore. When I tried them, they're just as good, I think, as Steak and Shake cheese.
So it's a super limited time kind of item?
They're not on the menu board at my McDonald's anymore. I pulled up the other day and they weren't there.
I saw them the other day.
Is it a secret menu item, though? One of those? Mm. Just like the veggie burger that you can get, but you have to ask for it. It's not on the board.
It could be. I got foie gras at Taco Bell the other day. So
there was a long line and I wasn't going to take the chance of waiting and not getting them. So
there you go.
Oh, Steve, a texter from the 224. They use the McFlurry spoon to mix it. That's why it's jammed in there.
I don't like it.
Super innovative, though.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
Sandberg, I feel like we've been doing nothing but helping people on today's show. It's been a very helpful show.
That's what you do, Steve.
Not normally. I mean, first off, earlier on the show, we help people by pointing out what a moron I am, with our science experiment. And then we've had several people come through that have been beneficial. We had a great kid of the week earlier. We had Dr. Smith. Dr. Ian K. Smith. We had our friend Jim on the most valuable person on the planet. All these, by the way, are podcast, yes?
These are podcasted, and I can confirm the water bottle that has not been swaddled by the blanket is much warmer than the water bottle that was in the blanket.
Yeah. Just like I said, Dave, I can't believe you're wrong about that. Yeah.
Just the opposite of what you said what all the listeners said yesterday.
All right, we help people with Sebastian Maniscalco to tell you tickets are going to be on sale Friday for his United Center. You know, I'm only half kidding when I say he's going to end up playing Soldier Field. I mean, you know, the guy, you start playing, the only guy that used to play, comedian that used to be able to play arenas, and Dave, you're old enough to remember this,
mm-hmm.
Steve Martin. Steve Martin went through a period in the Let's Get Small period, late 70s, where he was a comic who could sell 25,000-30,000 tickets.
Well, I can precede that a little bit, although certainly the evidence times have changed, but Bill Cosby, too.
Could Cosby sell that many tickets?
I remember seeing Bill Cosby at Coalfield House at the University of Maryland.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, you know, and it's funny with Cosby, because Cosby, as a stand-up, not as a pervert, as a stand-up, would just sit there.
Mm-hmm. On a stool or...
Sebastian, Steve Martin with the bunny ears and Let's Get... What's the thing where he danced around? I've forgotten. Let's Get Stupid. A lot of physicality.
Mm-hmm.
So Cosby, so maybe that's even more amazing.
What about George Carlin?
Carlin sold a lot of tickets. I don't think Carlin ever sold out, 25,000-30,000 seat arenas. And the only time Pryor did really big rooms like that were for specials, and he only did a handful of those. So... All these times, they are changing. It's 9:44. We welcome in the studio Mark Willingham. You know, good ideas are the helpful ones, and this seems like a great one. If you've got a daughter, a granddaughter for that matter, or a son or grandson who aspires to be a model, or you see something in them that could maybe go down that road, probably your first thought is, oh boy, I don't know. Mark's here to tell us about a new breakthrough, as far as I'm concerned, in what you're doing with a brand new app and a different way of looking at the industry.
We are, and thanks for having me.
You bet.
Yeah, we decided that, you know, the mauling industry really hadn't changed in 50 to 70 years. It's an iconic industry, like it's related to entertainment, music, and any of these artistic industries are really driven by dreams. And the models have been very susceptible, I should say, to predation and other things, and just really taken advantage of over the years. They've been moved from the center of the industry that exists because of them.
Sure.
And pushed to the peripheral edge.
And I would think, because there's more platforms now, there's more need for modeling than there's ever been before, because there's more marketing than there's ever been before.
Correct. And I must say that a lot of people believe they're models, because there's Instagram and everyone's out there saying, well, what is modeling? Is it a social media star? If you're an influencer, is it someone who you take photos of? And so there's a, you know, bigger component there.
And there's also models used to more typically look like a runway model. You had to be tall, thin, and whatever. And now there's a push for a lot more people looking, different varieties of people. So what wasn't, maybe you couldn't have been a model before, now a 5'6" regular looking girl could be a model as
real
well.
People.
Because, yeah,
real people.
That's what advertising, they're trying to go against just the, you know, perfect skeleton type model look.
Let's talk about the safety part of this, because this is a big deal.
Absolutely.
All right. So what do you do differently that helps ensure the safety of the model?
Well, for us, the marketplace is two sides. There's models and clients.
Right.
And we're equalizing it. So we're creating transparency. It's one of the primary things we're doing. So we want both sides to know exactly what the job is about, and agree up front. So no surprises. Everything's agreed in writing prior to a job.
Right.
On our platform, the clients actually have to apply just like the models. So they apply to book models on our platform.
Oh, that's interesting. So you're not just an outsource, you're an insource for the clients as well.
Correct. And
that's different.
That provides a whole level of safety and security, because we do criminal background checks, sex offender checks. We do ID verification of need on every client that books a model.
So you don't want your client walking into a job and being surprised by somebody that you haven't vetted.
Correct. And we don't want the model walking to a job.
Or the model first is what I mentioned. Yeah,
sure.
I meant to say. But the client being
correct,
the job creator.
It's both. It's total transparency. At the end of a job on our platform, the clients rate the models, and the models also rate the clients. And those are visible to everyone. So it's all transparent. Everyone knows what to expect, and they know what the prior behavior or history of jobs with that client or model is.
One great thing when you're trying to break through is to come up with a name for your new business that stands out. How is agent not trademarked 1,000 times?
I don't know, but it is now.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, you know what? For our industry, agent. That
That sums it up, doesn't it?
It does. Well, you know what? The reality is we have agent.com, and we decided to start using Join Agent, because we felt that just a generic word of agent didn't say enough about what we were doing. So you can go to agent.com. It'll just redirect you to Join Agent. So we feel like we're more of a movement. We are a platform, but we are about forward momentum. And so we want people to join Agent.
So let's say you're a 15 or a 16-year-old girl. You've been told you're beautiful. You feel good about yourself. And maybe this is something you'd like to pursue. Is this something, if you know nothing, you can go on the website and get a sense of the business that you wouldn't have had before?
Well, to start off, you have to be 18 on our platform.
All right, I like that.
So, and anyone under 18, not to discourage you, but make sure you have an adult involved, your parent, or, you know, someone who can give you guidance. And you want to make sure that you definitely, it's an adult industry. There's contracts. There's a lot of
sure.
obstacles.
But at 18, I think we can agree,
absolutely,
you're not a fully formed adult.
Yeah.
So let's take that 16-year-old example and make it an 18-year-old.
You're right. So we can't do it all with a platform. So part of our component on top of the safety is education. So we have a whole educational component to our platform where we provide guidance. We try to make sure that the models know what they can and should do given a situation arising that has any surprises. So they have to be empowered. They have to know it. I mean, one of the problems is the models don't feel empowered.
So you send a model into a job, you feel confident that they're fully prepared if they've gone through what you're trying to do at Agent.
Absolutely.
It's important stuff.
As far as from a parent standpoint, even if you have an 18-year or 19-year-old and they sign up for this, the fear of their picture just being out there for anyone to peruse and things like that, is it private, you know, or can everybody see you, or just people that are looking for models for a job?
Just people who are looking for models. They have to sign up on the platform. Only the model's first name is shown. No access to their Instagram or social media. So we really put all these protection mechanisms in place to try to create the safest environment that we can for anyone in the modeling industry.
Because what's happened in the past is human products are sold like products and not like humans. And these pictures, once they've been taken in the past, in other mass marketing ways, they end up on the internet and they're gone. Whereas we talked about off the air, one of the safety concerns is a girl comes in and the photographer says, we need some topless shots. And she doesn't necessarily have a phone number to call. Was I up for this? She wants to make sure she's doing the right thing. She doesn't want to screw up the job. Next thing you know, the topless photos are in the hands of somebody that shouldn't have them.
Exactly. I mean, there's no friend network right there on most shoots. I mean, you can't turn to your friend and say, I mean, maybe you would. And if you do bring a friend, that's always a plus. But you can't really usually turn to someone. And you're always thinking, am I going to be blacklisted if I say no to something?
Sure.
Because some of these are big players. And even, you know, there's great agencies out there, traditional agencies, and there's really good agents out there. But there's a whole lot that aren't that great.
This is being called the Uber of the modeling industry in all the right ways, and it creates opportunity in Chicago, which frankly has only existed in New York and Paris and places like that. So when we come back, you want to talk about that a little bit?
Sure do.
JoinAgent.com.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
If you're watching on CLTV, this is Chicago Treasure. This is the book that we were talking about before, and apparently at the end of the interview, I said, hey, go get the book. It's on Amazon. Might help if I gave out the title of the book.
That's right.
There's a lot of books on Amazon. Chicago Treasure, a very cool book combining traditional children's classic scenes with real kids.
And I know when you type it in, sometimes Google will correct it to Chicago Treasurer, and that's not
that's
what you're
different.
Looking for. Yeah,
yeah, so that's different.
Larry Brautman is the main name, though. If you search it with Chicago Treasure, you'll get the book.
Mark Willingham is here, co-founder and CEO of Agent Inc., and joinagent.com is a new way to look at modeling. And as a business in Chicago, we've got just as many beautiful people here in Chicago as New York and Paris and London, but there haven't been the opportunities. How does this change it?
So one of the beautiful things about a platform like Agent is that we're able to bring modeling to the cities instead of the models going to the cities.
Right.
So, you know, that old story of jumping in a car or on a Greyhound bus and going to L.A. or New York,
sure,
and, you know, living off the streets basically or in a small apartment goes away because you can now build your career and only travel when you get booked. So
you can be the farm girl.
Absolutely.
Or the farm hand.
Correct. Bring it right into the Midwest.
Right.
And it's funny, you know, we talk a lot about how there's less face-to-face and more things digitally within the model industry specifically. This app is creating more transparency than there is in the face-to-face world because, you know, from the Me Too movement alone, the stories of actresses and models that were taken to hotel rooms and told
Harvey Weinstein,
yeah,
to use
weren't
going to
get another part or another sure, gig because of, you know, sure, they wouldn't do a certain thing. Like this has a safeguard against that.
Correct, and I think the interesting thing is that the conversations that came out of Harvey and Me Too movement are great because when people start talking, it sets the foundation for potential change. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we started this prior to that, but that was wind at our sails because everyone said, okay, there is a solution. And, you know, quite frankly, I watched shows and, you know, for almost a year watching people talk and even ask us to come on and talk about the horror stories of some of our models. And I said, I don't want our models to relive their horror stories. I think the issue here is talking about the solutions that we bring. We all know the horror stories.
Yeah, because
stories
the horror
exist.
Stories are the behind the scenes brainstorming sessions when you're putting the business together, realizing what didn't work and devising ways to fix it.
Correct.
As you've done here.
Yes. I think we all know most of the horror stories, and right, they're just different flavors of the same thing.
It's Mark Willingham, co-founder and CEO of Agent Inc. Sound like you're a secret agent. Joinagent.com is the website. Can you download the app?
You can. We have an app on the App Store. You can also go to our website, and we have a web app. So
you're on Android as well, and Google Play?
We will have an Android version out in the next 60 days.
Great.
So, and right now, we are the world's fastest growing modeling platform. So we have over 25,000 models.
It's a really good idea. I mean, I mean, this is not a slam. I'm amazed nobody has done this before.
Well, what people have done is they've used technology to try to replicate or create efficiencies at how a traditional agency works.
Yeah, this isn't how it was done. This Correct. Is how it's going to be done.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, you know, like inclusivity and diversity are big things for us. We talked about it earlier. You know, the Barbie doll, you know, times have changed. And now, you know, we're about, you know, beauty has different flavors, and brands today sure. understand that. I sure. mean, you know, the banks today that are doing ads have models that have sleeves of tattoos because mm-hmm. that talks to the millennials. That's the customer.
A lot of different looks out there.
Absolutely are.
Congratulations.
Maybe you can be a model, Steve.
Again? Joinagent.com. Coming up, Stories That Matter with Steve Bertrand in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom next. It is 10 o'clock, and just ahead of the Bill and Wendy program, we have exciting news. Some more openings have been created for the Prague trip.
Oh, is that true?
The Blackhawks trip, and very limited.
Yeah. Well, we're working on it, right? So we got more tickets and airfare, and we're trying to find the hotel, and then we're going to build a second trip.
Can because they double right up now, with your room, Steve?
Well, right now, the closest hotel is Tinley Park, right. So it's got to be a little closer than that.
But yeah. it's a scenic drive from Tinley Park, it is, so really. It's not a loss.
But the big thing was you've been able to take care of, I guess it would be two-thirds of this, flying and availabilities and all
yeah,
of that.
So it'll come together.
So can people get a hold of you for information?
Yeah, keep sending me emails or call me, 847-606-6065. We already have... almost 30 people lined up for the second trip, so there's big demand.
And Steve Bertrand Travel?
Yes, stevebertrandtravel.com. Thank you, Steve.
All right. Just ahead of more with Steve in the newsroom, Bill and Wendy are here. And Wendy, exciting news. I just got Bill a modeling gig.
Oh, hand model or underpants model?
Mostly underpants, but it's tidy whities.
Come on. Of course it is.
It's a specific line of tidy whities.
How specific?
The same ones you wore in the 70s.
I still have them.
I bet they fit.
Yeah, and yeah. 6 of the 7 days are in pretty good shape.
Yeah.
Didn't you have underoos then?
I was wearing underoos at the time.
When were underoos invented? Because we didn't have underoos.
1971 was
really?
The invention.
Only
of
you would know
what
that.
What month?
Everyone knows that. Well, you can't pinpoint a month, Steve, but in 1971, the dawn of the underoos.
I got underoos in 1980 for Christmas. I had R2-D2, and my sister had C-3PO.
C-3PO?
Yeah, yeah, we had those underoos.
But I was 10 in 1971, so I was out of my underoos phase.
You were out of underoos.
You were probably
Bill
five?
Bill was just starting.
Five or six?
In 71, I was 8 years old.
Okay.
That's the time.
Yeah.
And you were still wearing underoos.
Well, yeah. That's yeah.
Were they the same for boys, a two-piece? Like a little tank top and a little underwear?
No, I had a Fred Flintstone onesie that I used to wear a lot.
What year did you say?
1970.
1971.
Dave, you were 43.
What are you coming up with?
According to Wikipedia of 1977.
I don't believe Wikipedia.
Here in the States.
Well, come on. We were talking underoos. Why would you not believe
Wikipedia? I trust
Wikipedia?
A Bill Leff over Wikipedia.
So do I. That means Bill was wearing them at 13, right?
That's not strange. If they made them for adults, right. Wouldn't you be wearing them?
Yeah.
There was a TV commercial in 1982, also one in 1978. Yeah. Oh, we're in high school. Hey, I'm looking. There was a T-shirt. There was a top for the boys.
I don't remember the top. Maybe.
Anyway,
you went bare-chested,
yes.
didn't you?
Anyway,
yes.
I talked to our friend at Join Agent, and he said he's not interested, but he might be able
he knows somebody who
to
is.
Connect you with other people.
Steve, you don't have to do that. Thank you. That's very nice of you.
I like an extra revenue stream for you.
Thank you.
So, what are you guys doing today?
Now we're in shock. We had stuff,
it's a
but
Tech
now
Tuesday.
We're in shock.
We've got John Williams to talk about the big
dead
visit.
Presidents?
Kind of.
Yes.
Dead presidents that sell out. I mean, that's
ticked.
Pretty great.
Yeah. That dead president is ticked.
He's mad?
Yeah.
What's he mad
ticked.
About?
I think about the current situation of our political system.
Should be outraged.
He's got a trip to Prague with Grover Cleveland that he's going to talk about.
Is that right?
Yes.
What hotel are they
sold out? Howard Johnson's.
See you tomorrow.